Yay, we're being recorded. A whole minute early. Welcome to the D&D... All right, you take it. I can't say it.
Welcome to the D&D podcast. DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com, where we talk about everything but Dungeons & Dragons. So we got two people that's going to call in today, Prepper Girl and Lenny, and I don't know who else.
Does Prepper Girl know that she's called Prepper Girl?
Yes. In fact, okay. She doesn't want to be known by her true identity, so she'll probably make up another name for herself when she calls in. Yeah. So she might also be one of our dedicated followers, too.
There you go.
Yeah. David Irish wanted to call in, but he says we need to change our time. He says 6:30 is not good. That's dinner time for him and Connie, so maybe we'll push it back to 7:30.
7:30 or even 8?
Yeah.
8 might
be
good.
He could call in anytime he wants, but... Yeah.
8 to 9 would make it so that as the sun sets later, it'd still be a decent bedtime for people. So,
bada-bing.
Folks, you should be sleeping between 10 o'clock and 2 every night. Best be in your bed.
Hour.
Yep. Best be in your bed by 9 o'clock, but by 10 o'clock, you've been asleep already. I have no science to back it up, but it's my understanding that that's when you really need to be asleep for your health's sake. You know, so, anyway.
Well, and that's one of the biggest reasons why truck drivers are unhealthy. You know, there's three big reasons why truck drivers are unhealthy. One, they don't get proper sleep. They don't have a sleep pattern. You know, especially whenever we had paperless logs, we were sleeping whenever possible because we were driving all the time. So we just took advantage of every sleep we possibly could get, and there was no telling when we were going to be driving. And with computer logs, even though I'm not really for computer logs because of the increase in the size, the cost, extended reach, and the power of government, I like computer logs because, you know, they force you to go on a schedule, and that's actually better for my health.
So you like computer logs in your contract, but not in your law?
Right, because it's unlawful.
Yeah, because it's, yeah. They really shouldn't be practicing authority over us.
Correct, because we are the sovereign people. We are supposed to be, even though, you know, man should not be practicing authority one man over another, man should be practicing authority over the government agency. We got a new caller.
Hello.
Hello.
Man from the dead. It's Lenny Latin. How you doing?
Good. Welcome to the DD&D podcast.
I think I recognize that voice.
Well,
yeah, how you
should. Not too bad. So, you want to start the Ron Paul deal and then go from there?
Yeah, let's do that. I'll let you call it in, though.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll call it in. Be right back.
The update from Monday, January 4th. Those who advocate ending instead of reforming the welfare warfare state are often accused of being impractical. Some of the harshest criticisms come from libertarians who claim that advocates of purism forego opportunities to make real progress toward restoring liberty. These critics fail to grasp the numerous reasons why it is crucial for libertarians to consistently and vigorously advance the purist position. First, and most important, those who know the truth have a moral obligation to speak the truth. People who understand that the need for drastic changes in foreign, domestic, and especially monetary policy, not to pretend that a little tinkering will fix our problems. Those who do so are just as guilty as those lying to the public as a promise-breaking politician. Attempting to advance liberty by lying is not just immoral, it is also a flawed strategy that is doomed to fail. The inevitable failure of reforms that do not eliminate the market distortions caused by government intervention will be used to discredit both the freedom philosophy and its advocates. The result will be increased support for more welfare, more warfare, and more fiat money. Thus, those who avoid discussing the root causes of our problems, not those they smear as impractical purists, are the ones undermining liberty. For example, many Obamacare opponents refuse to advocate for a true free market health care. Instead, they propose various forms of Obamacare light by ceding the premise that government should play a major role in health care. Proponents of Obamacare light strengthen the position of those who say the way to fix Obamacare is by giving government more power. Thus, Obamacare light supporters are inadvertently advancing the cause of socialized medicine. The only way to ensure that Obamacare is not replaced by something worse is to unapologetically promote true free market health care. This is not to suggest libertarians should reject transitional measures. A gradual transition is the best way to achieve liberty without causing massive social and economic disruptions. However, we must only settle for compromises that actually move us in the right direction. So we should reject a compromise budget that only increases spending by 80%. In contrast, a budget that actually reduces spending by 20% would be a positive step forward. Those who advocate a so-called extreme position can often move the center of the political debate closer to the pure libertarian position. This can actually increase the likelihood of taking real, if small, steps toward liberty. More importantly, the best way to ensure that we never achieve real liberty is for libertarians to shy away from making the case for the free society. Sometimes ideological movements are able to turn yesterday's fringe ideas into today's mainstream position. Just a few years ago, it was inconceivable that a significant number of states would legalize medical and even recreational marijuana, or that a majority of states would have passed laws allowing citizens to openly carry firearms. The success of these issues is not due to sudden changes in public opinion, but to years of hard work by principled advocates and activists. The ever-growing number of Americans who are joining the liberty movement are not interested in reforming the welfare warfare state. They also have no interest in fixing the Federal Reserve via rules-based monetary policy. Instead, this movement is dedicated to auditing, then ending the Fed and stopping the government from trying to run the economy, run the world, and run our lives. Thanks for calling this update. A new update is placed on this number, 888-322-1414, every Sunday. The written text can be found on my Ron Paul Institute website at www.ronpaulinstitute.org.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Okay, that one seemed a little longer than normal.
Yeah, I got cut off on the end there.
We'll let Lenny start. What would you like to talk about, Lenny?
Well, I got some bad news this week. This fellow in Alabama, his name is Mike Vandermeer, and he's very instrumental in the Second Amendment movement. In other words, he's pro-gun. He's an extremist in defense of liberty. And he's been given about 6 months to live. So I'm going to say to anybody that wants to do anything, look me up on Facebook, Lenny, L-E-N-N-Y, Ladner, L-A-D-N-E-R. And the last post I have is from David Cordera on Mike Vandenberg. This is a guy that needs to be helped. This is the next best thing in the movement to an Aaron Zellman, let's say. With that, I'll make a few comments about Dr. Paul. He's always been a voice of reason. He's always been a voice of good advice. the problem I've always had with Ron Paul is that he needs to talk to the people. And to sum everything up, whenever a new law is passed, it's taking away some kind of liberty from somebody. Whenever a bureaucracy, whether it's alcohol, tobacco, firearms, and explosives, or Forest Service, Bureau of Land Management, whenever they get more money, they pass more rules and regulations, taking away more liberties from us. What we need to see is that the best way to regain liberty in this country is to get ordinary people to run for Congress. They don't need to know nothing. That's the amazing thing, but they need to ask a question. Simple question. If this passes, will it increase the size, the cost, the reach, and power of government, and then to cut the government back in the reverse fashion that was expanded, cut these agencies back, cut off their operating money, and leave the entitlements alone? That's what scares a lot of people, that they're going to lose their disability, they're going to lose this. There's plenty of money for that, but let's start cutting back IRS and ATF and all of these agencies. And it's got to be said black and white so the average person can see it. I mean, the average person out there does not know how dangerous OSHA is. They don't. But all of these agencies are the same. But I don't know if that was a good start or not.
That's a great start. Lenny's running for Congress out of Tennessee. You want to tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, I'll be running in the 7th District. I'll be running as an independent, and the reason I'll be running as an independent is that I don't think the Libertarian Party will be on the ballot in Tennessee. The Republicans, or I should say the Communist Party of Tennessee, the Republican Party, has total control of this state from the governor's mansion to the state senate to the lower house to the courts, and they will do anything they can to keep the Libertarians out. The Libertarians actually present a much bigger challenge to the Republicans and the Democrats. Socially conservative, fiscally conservative, and socially, you know, if you don't bother anybody, we don't bother you.
Right.
So I'll be running as an independent. I sent the Bureau of Election my letter for ballot for a petition the other day, and I should get it next week, and hopefully my wife will get me some signatures. I'm kind of hoping the Democrats run nobody against Blackburn. A two-man race would be interesting because most people I know in this district hate her guts, but they don't know what to do. That's the problem. You know what I tell people? Run for office. You would be a better congressman, state rep, city councilman, county commission, and whoever's representing you. You know why? Because you would have the brains to ask the question. If this passes, will it increase the size, the cost, the reach, and power of the government? Is someone to vote? No. That's too much government.
Wait.
In all areas. I was going through some old papers today, and I found a reprint of my late friend Alan Stang's article, Oshakrats. I guess that was in the mid-70s. Oh, my God. It's worse now than it was then. Infinitely worse. Well, I can say that our kitten likes chicken. She's eating it. Oh, yeah, she's eating it.
Oh, yeah, she's a carnivore. Yeah, I was talking to a girl tonight who has a love relationship with Trump, just like you do. She's supposed to call in, but she hasn't done that yet.
I'll tell you one thing. One thing about Donald Trump, even though he's a phony, he is saying the right things. But of course, Donald Trump has said nothing about getting out of the Fed, the United Nations, getting out of these trade agreements. So, you know, he's making a lot of people react. He won't get the nomination.
Right, he's just a distraction.
He's in my opinion, he's just talking horse for Hillary. And if what I read the other day is correct, Hillary has some significant legal problems coming up. And if Loretta the Lynch, who needs to be lynched, gives her a get-out-of-jail pass, from what I understand, the intelligence community is going to turn on this clown, and it ain't going to be nice. I would not want the CIA at my back. They do have rules, regulations, codes, guidelines, and standards, and I don't like people that abuse them. I think the Republicans are afraid of Hillary, since she knows where all the bodies are buried, and it's time to give her a taste of her medicine. That's a long time coming for me.
Right.
What the?
Yeah, we was also going to talk about, well, Ron Paul talked about a little bit of it, you know, ending the Fed, auditing the Fed. And I forgot everything else he talked about. I'd have to go back and listen again.
Here's the thing on the Fed that a lot of people don't get. A lot of people that have written about the Fed, they make it complicated. And I think our job as patriots is to be able to talk to the people. The way the Fed works is the following. Congress spends more money than it takes in. So it has a deficit. Think about it. You spent more money in your checking account this week than you took in. Well, Congress has an interesting way to handle its problems. They can A, raise taxes. Excuse me. They got to go through a committee called Ways and Means, but Ways and Means to raise the money. So Congress spends more money than it takes in. The Ways and Means Committee can close the gap one of three ways. One is to raise taxes. Two would be to borrow money, issue bonds. Now, in the business cycle, if you issue bonds at the bottom of the business cycle and pay them off at the top of the business cycle, that was a smart move. Of course, these people are not capable of making smart moves. So anyway, the third thing is to monetize the debt. That means print money. Congress, through the Department of Treasury, owns the presses, the paper, the engravings, the ink, the engravers, the pressmen, the binders. They could print the money. Not true. The money has to be authorized by a central bank called the Federal Reserve. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Congress goes to the Secretary of Treasury and says, hey, Jack, we need to print some more money. He can't print the money. So he goes across the street to the Federal Reserve, which is a private bank. And Jefferson warned us that a private bank issuing the public currency is more dangerous than a standing army. If you don't believe me, look at what prices were in 1910 and look what prices are now. Look at the money supply. So the Federal Reserve gives the Treasury the okay to print the money, monetize the debt, or quantitative easing, whatever kind of fancy term they want to call it. But it's printing worthless paper that they call money. There's no gold behind it, no silver, no copper. There's government debt. Oh, excuse me, I got on the fast horse first. As the Secretary of Treasury is leaving the Federal Reserve, the Federal Reserve banker wants collateral. The collateral is in the form of Treasury securities, bills, bonds, notes, which bear interest. The Federal Reserve is making billions of dollars a year on interest without loaning out any money. That's the scam. And they're taking this interest to buy corporations, to buy media, to buy college professors. You can't even do that in New York City as a loan shark. You can't even do that in Kansas City, Missouri.
They're collecting interest on paper that's not even real money, and they're going out and buying things with it.
That's
buying everything with it.
The Federal Reserve has no money. I mean, you know, you go to the bank on the corner where you guys are at in Missouri, and if you qualify, they'll write you a check. They got backing for that check, and, you know, you go out and buy a house. That's not how it works with the Fed. They got no money. And when the Federal Reserve was sold to the suckers, 1909, 1910, 1911, 1912, a lot of these suckers were sophisticated bankers. And they agreed, yes, we need a central bank, a lender of last resort. But there has to be capital in that lender. There is no capital. So that's a quick explanation of that.
Right.
I got a 1x connection.
Pardon?
I got a 1x connection. I'm in the bottom of the Green Valley to Green Giant in Lewis County, Tennessee.
Well, you're coming in pretty strong. We didn't lose you. We also got a new caller that just called in. So we got a new listener. If they want to introduce themselves. Or if not, that's fine, too. Anyways.
Hi, guys. I'm on mute, but I'm listening. I'm
okay.
Say hello. Just say hello. I'm in the background. I don't want to make any noise for you guys. So.
Make all the noise you want.
Okay, so I'm muting now, but I'm listening.
Okay.
Okay.
So I got a question. A friend told me that the Federal Reserve's charter has been over now for about 2 years. Is there any way of looking that up and possibly pushing that issue?
I thought Congress renewed it.
Well, did they?
I don't know if you'll get a response. Send a letter to Rand Paul's office. I'm sure they're on top of that.
Ron Paul or Rand Paul?
Rand Paul. There's got to be somebody that has an answer. I don't.
Okay. So our other topic was going to be taxes theft. That's one of David Ray's favorite topics.
Yep, one of my favorites.
So what's your stand on taxes, Lenny?
My stand?
Yeah, what do you believe as far as the whole subject of tax goes?
I think we need to go back to what the Founding Fathers suggested, which was excise tax tariffs. You know, a lot of people have a lot of ideas, and I think the best idea is we have to downsize the government. And then we could decide how we're going to pay for it, whether it's going to be a flat tax, sales tax, excise tax and tariffs, or a 100% tax on the money that these politicians have stolen from us. I look at somebody like Pelosi. She came into Congress with a $700,000 net worth, but I think the woman's worth close to $50 million. I'd like to meet a financial advisor. There's only one way you could do that. All right, and that is selling your votes, and that's what she's done. The Republicans aren't much better. There's no honesty in that town. There never will be. We need to cut government and decide how we're going to pay for it.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, tax. I mean, they're taking 50% of our income. After it's all said and done, they're taking probably over 50% of our income. So it's not like we don't have enough money to pay for this stuff. We just have too much government sucking us dry, too much government abusing the system, abusing our money, abusing us. You know, we start cutting back government, you know, we'll have more than enough money for entitlements. We start giving people back their money and stop taxing them to death. We won't need the entitlements. You know,
well,
I think we need a government, but a small government. David believes that we don't need any government. Or, well, a government,
well,
but his definition is different. I'll let him explain.
Yeah, my definition is we should be governing ourselves. You know. The
like
reason
the
why we... Well, I don't know about the Native Americans, but But basically, we should govern ourselves. The reason why we have a government over us is because we misbehave. And unfortunately, the government we have now encourages us to misbehave. So they kind of reinforce the need to have them. You know, if we behave, we take care of our neighbors like we're supposed to, go out and take responsibility for repairing our own roads and things like that, we wouldn't really need some government to come through and say, hey, you need this stuff, and you got to pay for it. So we're going to steal it from you in order to get you to pay for it. You know, I don't know, you say I don't believe in taxes, and you're right. The term is not correct, but I'll use it anyway. I'll say you have to pay your taxes, but the difference is, do you pay them voluntarily, or do you pay them because somebody forces you to? And, you know, in the voluntary system, you'd go out, if you need the road repair, you'd go out as a community and hire somebody to do it, and everybody would contribute whatever they felt was appropriate. Whereas under the current system, you don't get to choose how much you pay in taxes. Somebody comes along and tells you how much you're going to pay, and if you don't, you suffer the consequences.
Right. Terroristic threat.
Yeah.
Well, the IRS has always been a terroristic organization. It's been proven many times that when you cut tax rates, the economy will stimulate itself with more spending. We got to cut government, and the way to look at a government employee, government cannot be productive. Ludwig von Mises wrote an essay called Profit and Loss. I think it's about 35 pages. It's either an anti-capitalist mentality or preparing for freedom. God bless the firecracker. Wife's going to sneeze. And government cannot be productive. I mean, you know, I own and operate a big truck, and somebody's paying me X dollars to relocate a commodity or a product. The product's worthless at the distributor, worthless at the manufacturer. It's worth something to Walmart, let's say. So I'm getting paid to do something. Government does not produce. Truck drivers produce. Carpenters produce. Bricklayers produce. Stockbrokers, believe it or not, produce.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Government cannot produce. So it's obvious that we need a lot less of it. And when you put a lot of these people, and Clinton started doing it, and Obama's going to do it a lot more, when you start putting guns in the hands of government inspectors, it's going to get bad. It's going to get real bad. Think about an OSHA inspector knocking down your door coming in with an AR-15. I'd be pulling my .45 on that sucker. You got no right to do it. Okay? By the way, there are ways around that on the state level, but a lot of these states, like the federal money coming in, they will not make waves. That's all. You get some people in the state house with some guts to run some legislation which disarms any and all federal agents in that state. It's a good first step. You know.
What do you got to say about that, David?
Well,
this is our second official podcast, so
disarming the standing army. Yeah, I can go with that.
We got too many standing armies. Right, that's what we were talking about earlier. We're not supposed to have a standing army. And we got, well, David said four, but we got like five, six, seven, almost eight, probably more than eight. We've got the Air Force, we got the Army, Marines, the Navy, the Coast Guard, the Coast Guard, then the Reserves, then we got the FBI, the CIA, then we have the police, and there are so many different organizations, and they're standing armies. You know,
our local Sheriff's Department is a standing army?
Well, maybe not the local Sheriff's Department, but you know, you got the, what is it, the DEA. That's a standing army.
Yeah, it actually kind of depends on the viewpoint of your local sheriff. If they realize who they're supposed to be working for and they're trying to do that, then, yeah, they're, you know, they wouldn't be a standing army. But some of these are receiving all sorts of wonderful toys from the federal government to...
I think one thing we should get out, I'm a big believer in support your police and keep them local. Okay?
Right.
We should ask a question. Are the police there to protect and serve, or are they there to plunder and oppress? And the concept with the standing army goes back to the Third Amendment when this country was founded. There shall not be a standing army except in times of war. And the militia was adequate to defend the country. And the federal government was supposed to provide for common defense by training the officers corps. So you have uniformity of command. That takes care of a lot of problems you have today. About 1880, 1885, these internationalists got the idea of getting people in this country to create trouble and getting this National Guard thing started, which was a joke from day one. The National Guard is not the militia.
Okay. Right.
You
and me.
About it. I'm sorry?
You and me are the militia.
Well, I'm 62, but I would qualify for duty very easily. Couldn't march very far, but I qualify for duty. Everything these clowns have done over the last 100, 150 years was to destroy the sovereignty of the American citizen. The United States is the only country in history in which the citizens are sovereign. And with a couple of more celebrated court cases like Travey and Martin, you're going to lose citizen control of the juries. A citizen jury is voting on the guilt or innocence of the person and the law. And the liberals left a lot of stuff out with that Travey and Martin case. And after Zimmerman was acquitted, the liberals didn't say a word. But what they want is trial by judge. So. My good friend Charlie Smith has done a lot of research on the Travey and Martin case, and it's a lot different than what it's cracked up to be.
I never heard of it.
Travey and Martin was that unfortunate kid in Sanford, Florida, got shot.
Oh, right. Okay.
And the interesting evidence that they withheld was that if Travey and Martin was going to ambush Mr. Zimmerman, why was Travey and Martin on his cell phone talking to his girlfriend? Why would you be on your cell phone if you could ambush somebody?
Right.
Think about it. But you'll have a couple more cases like that, and then you'll get Alan Dershowitz or one of these liberal professors. Well, the jury doesn't know what they're doing. The jury has to listen to the facts and make a decision. And,
Okay, so how many of these so-called school shootings actually happened?
Hard to tell.
Because I know the original one, the big one that made all the fuss, it came out that that never happened. It was just a big song and dance.
You talking about around the loops?
Sandy Hook.
The one either in Colorado. Yeah, Sandy Hook, I think that's the one.
Yeah, Sandy's big false one.
The communists have a phrase, it's called the action isn't the reaction. And I could show you guys this through history, but I don't think we have the time. The action isn't a reaction. It's a simple concept. You create a horrible, horrible event, and then you run the legislation right through the Congress or the state legislation. Sandy Hook did not happen. I think the governor of Connecticut, the head of the state police, the coroner, who didn't see any bodies but signed off on everything, need to be in jail. Whether the sentence is done through a grand jury or whether it's done by a militia surrounding the state house, they need to be in jail. The government has no right to tell us what kind of arms we can have, how we can secure them, how we can carry them. They got a right to say, you know, you don't have a right to plug the guy yet. You know?
Right.
I mean, Al Capone was government to himself, but Al Capone was never, he was never a Marxist.
Well, if anything, whatever our military cover carries, we should be carrying. You know, so if we shouldn't be carrying it, then they shouldn't be carrying it either.
Well, yeah, because we're supposed to be the military.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, it's funny. I found yesterday I had a lot of time to get on my computer, and I got an email from it's an NRA group in Ohio, Bearing Arms or something. It's on my Facebook page, from a guy, Bill Owens, and he's totally right. The guns they want to take from us are not the guns that commit crimes. These are our self-loading rifles, because these weapons could be used to defend this country against the insurrection going on right now by the federal government. They are insurrecting the country, not the people insurrecting the government.
Right. Yeah, you create a problem so you can advocate a solution for the problem, which puts more and more power into your hands. They've already got the legislation already written. They probably already tried to get it passed 100 times. So they got to go out and create a problem to scare the people into saying, we need you to fix this. So then they say, oh, we already got this legislation already ready. Let's go get it.
That's 9/11. They had the Patriot Act ready in 1993. They had it ready in 1995.
Do what, David?
They still didn't have time to read it before they put it on.
None of them read it. Ron Paul read it. Paul Brown read it. No, that thing had to be...
The Civil Rights Bill. They tried pushing that through a dozen or so times. I heard Charlie's speech on that a lot because I got it on MP3 and I listened to it while I'm driving. The Civil Rights Bill, they kept trying to push that through how many times, and then finally they what was it with the little girl or something, and then
when Charlie tells the story, he gets Birmingham and Atlanta mixed up. Charlie has about the worst sense of direction that I know. But basically, the Democrats tried to get this thing passed 61, 62, 63, and in 1964, four little innocent girls who would be college professors, doctors, mothers, grandmothers today. By the way, the Wi-Fi went down.
The what?
I'm talking to the wife. She's pouring more orange juice for me. I'm living on orange juice, kind of.
Oh, okay.
She'd be better off hooking me up to an intravenous of vitamin C. basically, they blew up this little church in Birmingham, Alabama, and they ran a civil rights bill. Civil Rights Act of 1964 is nothing more than 99% more government, 1% civil rights. And with that bill, they put in the Voters' Rights Act, the Federal Election Commission, all of this stuff. And, of course, if you didn't agree with what they're doing, you're a racist, fascist, bigot, anti-Semite, you're a member of the Klan, you go drinking with David Duke, et cetera. Okay? The liberals love to call names.
and then another thing Ron Paul was talking about was communist care.
Okay.
You know, they've been trying to get that through for a while through different other organizations and acts. You know, and the, you know, one of the biggest things that all of us have in common is we don't subscribe to sick care or modern medicine. We, you know, some of us might more than others, but for the most part, most of us do alternative health, you know, most of the people within my circle, that is. And, you know, with this communist care, you know, they don't support alternative health. They only support modern medicines and are trying to force us to subscribe to Obamacare and modern medicines. And they're only just trying to make us more sick instead of, it's not health care, it's sick care.
Well, according to a
violation of the law, because I do not have Obamacare.
Do what?
As I understand it, I'm in violation of their law because I don't have Obamacare.
Well, not exactly. According to my accountant, as long as you're below the poverty level, you don't have to subscribe to communist care.
Woo-hoo, so, I'm doing something right.
Yeah, so if I can get enough tax deductions to get myself below poverty level, then I don't have to subscribe neither. But
well,
nonetheless.
All I have to say, according to a friend of mine who's a holistic nutritionist, all of that stuff is illegal now.
What? Alternative health?
That's right, all of it.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, well, maybe not all of it. I mean, according to them, I understand. But I know every year they're trying to make more and more steps to make alternative health more and more illegal. There's so many things that you can get in Europe and other countries right now that will fix people with problems that we have that our doctors say, oh, there's no cure for that, when they know better. And it's illegal here. We can't use it. And you get caught using it, you know, off with your head.
Yep, you got to go to Mexico to do it.
Mexico or Europe.
Or Canada.
Yeah, imagine. You gotta go to
some
backwards third world country to get better medicine.
Yeah. 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 I don't know.
And basically, with the medical care, follow the money. I mean, that guy Jonathan Grobe, a loudmouth, said the American people were stupid to figure out what's going on. Well, I look at it this way. I wonder what would happen if Jonathan Grobe were lecturing somewhere and a couple of guys got him in a corner. You know, because Jonathan Gruber was responsible for increasing the size, the cost to reach the power of government. No, communism hasn't worked anywhere. Socialism hasn't worked anywhere. And this is the last stand right here. The last stand.
Right. How much longer before it all collapses?
Hey, I got something to say.
What's that?
This is Joe Crisman, by the way. Is that Kano?
Yeah.
Okay. I was watching something the other day on the internet, and I guess the Democratic Party is not really the Democratic Party anymore. They've re-registered themselves as the Democratic Socialist Party. Is that anybody else aware of that?
They joined with the Europeans.
I'm sorry?
Lenny would know something more about that. Go ahead, Lenny.
Well, basically what you have in the United States is you have one party. You got the Communist Party, and you got two wings. You got the Leninists, the Democrats, and you got the Trotskyites, the Republicans. What we need is a second party in this country. Libertarians would be a damn good choice.
What about Ubuntu?
Huh?
What about
Kato, you started telling me about that. It's too convoluted for me. Way too convoluted.
It's a new party that they're trying to get started here in the U.S. It started in South Africa. But go ahead. So you don't know if they changed their name to the Democratic Socialist Party or not?
Well, they've been socialist for years, so what else is there? I got a friend on Facebook, Herman Talmadge III. His grandfather, let him rest in peace. He's a senator from Georgia. He was a Democrat. Was not a bad guy. I mean, you know, I'd like him a little closer to Joe McCarthy or Larry McDonald, but you know, he had to be a little bit moderate in his district, you know. But he doesn't believe the changes the Democratic Party's made. I mean, when you got a nutcase like Deborah Wasserman Schultz, I mean, this woman's psychotic. Or Schumer. By the way, one thing, since I call myself the Tennessee Jew boy every once in a while, the whole idea of these left, extreme left-wing Jewish politicians, they're all gun grabbers and they're all internationalists. The whole idea is to get the average, ordinary, normal American citizen to hate Jews. Okay? That's what they're doing with a lot of the black politicians. Most black people I know hate Obama, okay? Most of them hate the black caucus. But they can't figure out that the leadership of these groups is being used to get the other groups to hate them. Is that what's going on? Okay, good. I think the her Wi-Fi came on, mine didn't. Your phone went on. My phone went on too.
Do what?
We had to reboot the Wi-Fi today.
Oh, okay.
I was supposed to watch the stove too. Yeah, wait a second.
How many people are on?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is our best podcast ever.
Woo-hoo, we have listeners.
Yeah.
I just sent you that thing about Bob Owens, Kano, okay?
I'm sorry, what?
I sent you that thing about Bob Owens.
Oh, okay, cool.
Your Wi-Fi's on.
So I helped break the record tonight, huh?
That's it.
Yeah.
Yes, it
Thank
is.
You.
Hey,
all
three of you did. Usually it's just David and me.
I also heard something else that...
Now,
but I guess
Joe, earlier you gave your real name. You sure you don't want to go by Joe Mama instead?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
I heard that they're trying to get rid of, just try to get rid of the Republican Party and make us a one-party system. That's what the Democratic people have a sub-agenda of doing, along with all the other stuff they're trying to do. They're just trying to make us one Democratic Socialist Party for the whole country. Of course, then they're trying to do one world government stuff too. So, yeah, that's
already a one party government. Yeah, it's already that way. They just want to make it official. It's just
right, because Republicans are just laying down and doing whatever the Democrats want them to do. They don't ever put up a fight about nothing.
Right, it's just like the North American Union has already been in effect for a decade now. But nobody realizes it because they're not paying attention.
Well, since the 80s. When did they pass that? 92? Is that when they passed NAFTA?
NAFTA was passed in 94, but the North American Union was signed on as a research project by a Reagan executive order.
So it started with Reagan. Clinton took it to the next level, and then Bush finished it off. But... Mm. It, you know, it's still not recognized because it's all, you know, they kept it, they swept it all underneath the rug. Well, later they're going to baby step us in once they collapse the dollar, they're going to bring in the Amero, and then they're going to say, oh, let's do this North American Union.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, go ahead.
The dollar's going down pretty hard right now. At least the economy.
Well, yeah, they brought us down to the Canadian standard. Now they just got to bring us down to the Mexican standard.
Actually, I think we're already below the Mexican standard, aren't we? We can't buy cheap stuff in Mexico anymore.
Well, what they're going to do with this North American Union, first of all, if you have a country and you don't have a currency, you're not sovereign. So in other words, the world that I grew up in, you had the British pound, French franc, Dutch gulden, Swiss franc, Italian lira. You had all of these currencies. You could buy them and sell them all day long. What they want to do with this North American Union is put the final nail in the coffin of the United States sovereignty and give us a merged currency, the Amero, and a fully merged economy between the United States, Mexico, and Canada. And, of course, the United States Constitution ceases to exist. I call that treason. I don't know what you call it. I don't care what the state of the dollar is. I don't care what the state of the economy is. That NAFTA was treason. Taking our factories that could be used to manufacture military weapons, God forbid, and sending them to China and Mexico, that's treason. Period.
Right. Well, having China make our American flags should be treason, too. That always pisses me off, you know. It's like I got a hat, you know. Right. When I was with my second wife, she was in the Air Force, and we went to one of the air shows, and they were handing out the American flag hats at the air show, and they were made in China. And I'm like, this doesn't even make sense. But anyways, that's my own
little
thing. You
guys know about the gold French on the flag, right? Everybody knows about that. Yeah.
No, I don't.
Admiralty flag. The maritime flag. Admiralty flag, yeah.
All right, I'll be honest. I'm aware of the subject matter, but I don't know.
I'm looking at one here that does not have gold fringe, but I don't know.
That's a true constitutional American flag with the white border. Without
the
gold fringe. With the white border is a true American flag.
Oh, this don't have a white border. It's just got the white where it hooks to the flagpole.
Well, that's fine. There's nothing around the red. That's fine, as long as it don't have the gold fringe on it mainly. That's a totally different flag. It's not even a United States flag. And that's what hangs in all the courtrooms.
Gold fringe
flag.
From what I understand, the District of Columbia, D.C., isn't even part of the United States anyways.
Right.
So, you know, of course they would fly somebody else's flag because they're not part of this country.
Yeah. Maybe we should confiscate that and take it back. What do you think?
I think so. So was you going to say something, Mickey, whatever you want to call yourself? She's got to press star 6 if she's still listening.
She might have muted her phone directly.
Well, that's okay. She probably stepped out. She runs a rescue center for cats and dogs, so she may be tied up with one of them.
Oh, I hit the wrong button, I think. I think I hit the wrong button, so if you hear noise in the background, just you guys tell me, because I'm muting and unmuting, and I might forget if I'm on mute or not with everything going on. So
that's
I don't want to make noise for you guys. I think I had it opposite to what I thought I had it. Because there's only a short time left, right?
We could talk as long as we need to, really.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, what I had to say is really a terrible thing. But I do. I'm a truth seeker in the matter, and I used to like Trump originally because of he's strong and all that stuff. But I see that I'm very troubled about and upset right now. I can't stand the guy right now because he's a degenerate, and his entire his wife and his daughter are degenerates for sure. And I'm pretty sure there's quite a few others around them that are degenerates because birds of a feather flock together. And I was quite shocked because I found out some information recently. I kind of heard of some things in the past, but just recently it was brought up. And with some of my family and friends. And I don't understand why so many people, including the media and everything, that always, my mom says, digs up dirt on people, and they're always looking to dig up dirt. How come they haven't brought up all the dirt of the disgraceful Trump family that the wife, Melania Trump, and the daughter, Ivanka Trump, are online on the Internet in horrific, it's just degenerate pornography. It's really bad. There's videos that they've put up of themselves and doing orgies, the two of them, with numerous different people, you know, of women and men. And they also have still shots of pictures that they've put up themselves. The daughter has put up much. I've seen much. My mother, you know, we've seen some. I actually have a link, but it's a horrible thing. I wouldn't want anybody to see it. But, I mean, I don't understand how the truth hasn't come out, because if they ever make it to the White House, it's going to be the first degenerate family of the skanks of the White House. I mean, I can't understand how so many people.
Well, we had Clinton.
No. I'm talking about the daughter. I can be very blunt, and I don't know how blunt I can be on here. But the daughter, for example, I mean, it's a horrible thing to say in front of a bunch of men. But I think that if people that were decent knew about what was really going on and on the Internet, and they must know. How does the media not know? They would just be so disgusted with this guy and with his family and his wife and the daughter. That would be enough. They wouldn't want a leader like that, because everybody would look at it as we're a bunch of degenerates. They probably already think we're a bunch of degenerates. And that would just really, because of the fact that, you want me to just, can I just say it bluntly? For example, I mean, you got the daughter Ivanka that's coming out doing interviews on Fox News with that woman and she's saying what a lady she is and everything. These are not ladies. They're on the Internet opening up with a big smile on their face, their private down lower area, wide open for the whole world to see. I mean, that's pretty bad. Do we really want that in the White House? Do we want the daughter of the president spreading her legs to show her whole everything to the whole world? When you got Arabs and everything, leaders, they're going to know about all. If they don't already know, which they probably do, because if some little peep squeak like me can know about it, then there must be a lot of people out there that know about it. How come it hasn't come out the filth of them? Because if that filth comes out, they'll go right down the drain very quickly. Because the conservative people, the women that believe in God, Trump does not believe in God. His family does not believe in God. These are not godly people. These are immoral people. They can, they might bring up the country financially, but they're going to bring it down when it comes to morals worse than it is now, because they have no morals. I mean, they're out there with porn, pure porn out there, doing orgies and everything. The daughter doing orgies, full blast. There's hundreds of pictures out there with her doing orgies. And then she comes on TV looking like a little Snow White, acting all sweet and everything. And she's no lady. She's wicked. She's evil. I mean, it's horrific. I'm troubled by it because I was shocked still, but it's disgusting. And I don't know. And they're models. This is not modeling. This is pornography. This is really disgusting stuff. It's bad. It ain't right. It ain't godly. I don't know. You know, I mean, it ain't good. Do we want our children, you know, looking at them as role models? Skank in the White House? It's not just skank. It's skank that's putting themselves out there, showing their private areas, the whole inside, to the world. And not only that, but a lot of other things, like toys. The daughter's sticking toys on the Internet and all kinds of stuff. I mean, with a big smile on her face, sticking her butt in the air. Not just her butt, but you know what I'm talking about. I mean, it's really bad. I mean, there's really bad stuff. She's doing it with two guys at the same time. You know, it's very clear in there. I mean, how come that's not coming up? I mean, and he's able to bring up the dirt of poor Hillary Clinton. I don't never like the Clintons, but poor Hillary is innocent.
Poor
She's
Hillary.
A victim. She's a victim. Her husband, I don't like the woman, right? Never did. But I don't like the fact that this degenerate Trump, right, what is everybody afraid? They're going to get sued. I ain't afraid of him. You know, that he can come up and say to poor Hillary that her husband did this. It ain't her fault. You know, I mean, that's not, and he needs to look at himself in the mirror. Look at his own wife that's sleeping with other women. And I'm sure he does sleep behind the scenes with other women too. And they're probably a bunch of swingers, because obviously they have to be, because otherwise his wife wouldn't be having orgies online with other women, right? So he has to accept it or he wouldn't have married the skank, right? So, and the daughter's a skank. I mean, you can see online pictures of them before they had their surgeries and then afterwards, and they were already doing pornography before they had the surgeries, the two of them. And then when they had the surgeries where they went and did all the implants and the facial and the suck in the tummy, then they still continued to do. There's videos and everything. I haven't seen all of it, but they're out there. I have seen the still shots. My mom's seen them. My friends have seen them. And it's just, it's really horrible. It gives it just a different perspective because you lose, I mean, you automatically, if you're a decent person, you lose respect for somebody like that, and you don't understand how come it hasn't come out. I mean, all the oppositions that are, they're saying, to hell with Trump, how come they haven't brought it out? They're all godly men, they're saying. Well, this is an ungodly feature that could come out. I mean, this is an ungodly fact that's out there on the Internet. How come? I just don't get it. Does anybody have any ideas why it's not coming out? I want it to come out because the guy is so down. Huh?
I never heard of it till now, so I don't
it's
know.
All you
maybe
have
the
to do, all you
quiet.
Have to do, not for anybody to do it, but all you have to do is very easy. All you want me to say it? All you got to do, I mean, you just have, it's very, you don't even have to have a creative mind for it. You just simply go, Ivanka Trump's naked pictures. You know, I mean, Ivanka Trump's naked images, and they're good. You'll see hundreds, and just go more and more. I mean, pornography. There's videos of everything. You might have to, you know, it may not come out the first time, and I don't suggest it to anybody because it's evil, and I don't want to send anybody down an evil path. But the thing is I want people to know the truth about these people. These are not godly people. If you're just showing the Bible, it's false, it's fake, because a godly person doesn't do those things. I mean, whatever you do behind closed doors, but you don't go showing your, this is skank. This is worse than whores. They're worse than whores, Melania Trump and Ivanka Trump, because they're showing it to the whole world. It's terrible. I get worked up about it because it's such a disgrace, and I just don't know how somebody ain't bringing it up.
I got three comments.
What?
The government.
I got three comments.
Okay, let me hear all three of them.
Okay, three comments are,
let's hear it.
First of all, I think Joe Biden, they tell publicly that one of his boys or children's gay, I believe, okay? Some of that stuff, they don't think it matters, okay? Second of all, if you want to type in nude photos of Hillary Clinton, you could probably find them. So on that same avenue, the nude photos that you find of Ivana Trump, they may or may not be true, but actually a fourth point of that.
Oh, they are true. She does. She's
okay, well, maybe they are.
Everything.
But they can doctor anything. And if the Democratic Party wanted
doctored.
To try to,
it ain't doctored.
If they wanted to try to slime Trump, then they could do that. If they really thought, if all that stuff's really true, and it may be, don't you think they'd be bringing it out? Because they definitely don't want to get Trump.
They don't want to be sued because they'll lose everything, because the Trumps will come right after the person that's causing all the trouble, and they're afraid of Trump. And that's why I can tell you right now, women especially, women know women. And all you got to take a look is one look at when Ivanka Trump is on any interview, pretty much. She doesn't even wear a bra, okay? And I just have to bring that up because she's sleaze. She has no respect. She's sticking her boobs way out that are fake because she's really, truly a triple A. Right, but she's sticking a big, huge boobs. Why? You know, she's doing it with no bra. That shows disrespect. So you can already see by that she's disrespectful with her pumped up lips with injections and everything else. The thing is that she's disrespectful, and if you don't believe that, you can just see that. And guys may not mind it, but it's disrespectful, and that's not how you go out in public if you're a lady, especially if you're running for the daughter of the president. You know, put a freaking bra on. You know, and at least, I mean, the stuff is, all you have to do is, if you were to pull up that, if you were to do that, you can even put Trump's family's naked images, and you'll get Melania Trump on there. You won't see Trump on there. They put a little funny picture with his head. You can see that's an undone and a little fat thing in a string with his little tiny, you know what? But you can see all the, they're there, and you can see for yourself, and you'll know because she herself has come out, because she's an exhibitionist. Even the wife has said she's an exhibitionist on one of the sites. The wife even put. She's gone in magazines and she's already gone naked things, but this is also it's porn, it's orgies, it's all kind. It's just disgusting. For somebody that's going to be running for president to have that kind of sleaze on, you know, that kind of it's trash. I mean, it's vice.
Yeah.
You know, It's not holy. It's not what we want. If the women that are the godly women, especially, a lot of the women, if these women, that if they would know about this, that Ivanka Trump, she's acting like a little sweetheart, and Trump is saying what a good heart Melania. She doesn't have a good heart, Melania. A good-hearted woman doesn't do that.
That's true. Maybe if it's true, they're saving it.
It is true. You can go find out for yourself. It's true.
Let me make my comment, okay? If it's true, maybe they're saving that for the loaded gun to shoot him down. If it's Hillary against Trump, then they'll bring that out because
that's their Trump card.
The Trump card. There you go. So
I don't think Hillary's going to bring it out. I don't think Hillary's going to bring it out. And the reason I don't think she's going to bring it out is because her daughter is very good friends, almost like super close friends, with the skank, And Hillary, just the other day, not long ago, she came out and they asked her what she thought about Ivanka Trump. She said, I think she's a fine young lady, fine, that opens up her vagina for the whole entire world to see. I don't think so. She's trash.
Well,
she's sleazy. She's
Hillary
wicked.
May be the same way. Hillary Clinton may be exactly the same way.
I don't think there's pictures out there with her. No, listen. Common sense. Common sense. You have to do common sense also, and you can look for it yourself. You're not going to find pictures of Hillary like that. I can guarantee you. Okay, she's not skanked like that. Okay, her husband might be, but she ain't skanked like that. Ivanka Trump has been doing all these modeling. It's already a well-known fact that she was going naked doing porn a long time ago. It's known out there. And so was Melania, okay? But they've personally, there's pictures of their own bedrooms and their own homes and their mansions where they're having orgies and stuff, and that's all on there. They're putting their personal sexual, because she's an exhibitionist and she wants everybody to look at her and think she's just the hottest little thing in town when it's all a bunch of plastic. But that's how these women think. And it's sad because it's disturbing because women are looking at this kind of, this stuff, these women that are all pumping themselves up, and everybody's saying what lovely ladies they are and how wonderful, how educated and all that, and it's just the opposite. And that's why I want people to find out for themselves, if they don't already know, look into it themselves and find out and make their own decisions on it. But people need to be aware about this. I feel that, do they really want somebody like that? If they do, I think that would be sad. If people know about this and vote for him anyway, it means that this world, the majority of the people aren't even decent anymore. They don't even have morals anymore. So that would be sad. I hope that doesn't happen. I hope that it does come out and that people make the right choice.
The media don't want it to come out. The media is owned by the government, or, not really the government. They're owned by the elitists for the most part.
By the bankers. By the
bankers. And so they're not going to let things. And Donald Trump, he's in the pockets. He's in bed with all these people. So they're not going to let this stuff get out if they can help it. So people like us are the only people that's going to get it out. Small media, you have to,
If anything, they'll use it to hold over his head so that if he doesn't do what they tell him to do, then he brings it out and he's out of power.
Well, that too. It's just like not too long ago, a few months ago, Hillary was under investigation because she was having her work stuff on her home computer, blah, blah, blah. Well, they don't care about that. So what did Hillary really do to piss off the New World Order to make them make that an issue? And that's the thing of it is with Donald. They'll use this as a weapon against him to control him. So as long as he does what they want him to do, they're going to keep it all hush-hush. So that tells us right there alone that we don't, both accounts tell us that we don't want Trump because, one, he's feeding this lifestyle, and two, he's letting the elitists use this lifestyle to control him to do what the elitists want him to do, which is not what we want him to do.
Well, I've seen some stuff on Cruz that him and his wife are all for one world government. So, If Trump ain't no good, they ain't none no good.
Yeah, Yeah, well, I don't know about that, but they're probably not immoral like he is, I have to say. And for me, a lot of people don't care about that, but for me, the spiritual part is more important, because that's when you leave this life, you're not caring about the money. It's the spiritual part. And to have a government, to have a leader like that, that has that kind of people around him, and he's going to be the same, because birds of a feather, you know, they flock together. So they're all on the same thing. They're all doing the same thing. I mean, it would really bring the country down morally already. And nobody's going to have any respect for this country just because he's got a strong character. When they find out what these other women are like around them, I mean, it's not holy. It's far from it, and it looks really bad, especially for all these Arabs and everything. You know, they have the women all. I mean, it's going to be just looking really sleazy. I can't think of it being worse than that. And all the young children and in school. I mean, all the people looking up to them. They're going to be seeing. You can just see it. You can just look, even without even knowing what they're involved in, just by looking how they dress and how they do the skin tight things and they're popping everything out. It's not even. You know, it's just. You know, it doesn't look. It just looks. It looks low, you know. It looks like they're trying to just show it all off, and it's not. It's just. It's not elegant, you know, for a first lady or for anybody to be a part of that family. So it's troubling, because then the girls, what's going to happen? It's already messed up, and all these young girls are looking at all these superstars and all these singers, and you know that when they go down morally like that, they think that they got to also do the same thing, and that's the way you got to look and be, and it really screws up the youth up really bad. And that's not who we need for leaders. We need somebody that the woman next door is not at least, you know, at least not unholy, you know. Not like that. I mean, you know, if you're doing stuff behind the scenes, but to go and show it to the whole world, you know? I mean, come on. I mean, that's really dirty. It's dirty. You know, I mean, come on.
They don't have any dignity.
There's no respect.
You know?
How can you have respect for something like that, you know?
Yeah.
It's a bunch of maggots is what it is. It's worse than maggots, you know?
Yeah, I'm not really sure who the right one is to vote for. Probably Rand Paul. Is probably the best, but
absolutely. But he's not even in the running, from what I hear.
What's really troubling?
Is he still running?
Who?
Is he going to be on the ticket?
Oh, I don't know. I guess Lenny got off the line.
Oh, I'm still. I'm just listening.
Oh, okay. So where's Rand Paul in the running? Is he still going to run for president? Is he still in the running?
He's still in. I mean.
Okay.
That's the only Republican that's the only Republican that I could support.
So yeah, because so are you the type then? Are you saying more or less then, like if he drops out, then you just won't vote? Is that what you're thinking along the lines?
Well, in all honesty, if Rand runs as a Republican, Rand gets the nomination, I'll support him. If he doesn't, and Gary Johnson, who I've met, there's a picture of me and Gary Johnson on Facebook. If Gary Johnson gets the Libertarian nomination and Rand does not get the Republican nomination, I will support Gary Johnson. But, you know, I've been saying this for a long time. Look up, who could be the president? And if you think about all the presidential races since 1968, you got nobody. You know, you want Tricky Dick or McGovern, you want Carter or Ford? Do you want Reagan or Ford? Do you want Reagan and Mondale? Matter of fact, I heard a story the other day that one of the reasons Larry McDonald got killed was he was planning to run as a Democrat against Reagan. He was a lot more conservative than Reagan. Look up Larry McDonald on the internet. You'll like him. You know, you go through all of these races and you see the same thing. Look up. Who will be the president? Look down at these cockroaches. They're called congressmen. They're collectivists, they're communists, they're fascists, they're Nazis, and they're socialists, masquerading as Democrats and Republicans. They keep giving us more government. We got to concentrate on these congressional races. We got to get our people to run in these races and get rid of them. Get rid of these opportunists, these amoral opportunists, these elitists, these socialists. Get ordinary people in there like Cana, who got enough brains to say, hey, I'm going to look at that bill, and if that bill increases the size, the cost, extends the reach, the power of government, I'm going to vote no on it. We got too much government.
instead of looking at this dog and pony show, is it going to be Trump? Is it going to be Hillary? Is it going to be Cruz? Oh, God.
Right. It's just like the WWF. They're up there doing their song and
like
dance.
I don't like Cruz either. I don't know why.
Acting like they're enemies, and they're not. They're all embedded together.
They're all embedded together. That's correct.
Yeah. I hate to say this. I hate to say what I'm going to say, right? But I'm just going to throw it out there. If Trump wins, and I hope I was going to ask you guys' opinion, does it look like he's going to win? Can he win? If he doesn't win, Ohio is one question I have. But before you guys answer that, if he does win, I it's between him and Hillary, unfortunately, I hate to say it, but I'm going to go vote for Hillary because I do not want Trump to get into the White House. So that would be the worst skank.
Well, it's all about the primary. We got to get them to the primary.
Go ahead.
We've got to concentrate on getting people in the Congress. I'm not concerned as running for president. You really have not. You have not had an American in a White House since 1928.
Huh.
That was cool.
And a president doesn't do much, anyways. The president's more of
a scapegoat.
Yeah, he's just a puppet on a stage to keep us distracted. Congress and the Senate are pretty much where all the power is.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
But I guess just going back, I know you're saying the president's not really what matters, but does Trump have a chance to win if he doesn't win Iowa?
Iowa?
Know.
Is it Iowa the one? Wait, I'm going
to... Iowa is the first caucus, and
yeah.
I think if you look at the history of the Iowa caucus, I don't really like to research this stuff, but I think if you look at the history, just because somebody won the Iowa caucus didn't mean that they won the Democratic or Republican nomination.
Okay, because I think that... Well, he's not ahead right now. I think Cruz is ahead right now there.
Cruz
might win.
Dangerous.
What?
Cruz extremely dangerous.
I don't like Cruz. And if Trump wins, he's going to take Cruz also as the under him.
Well, the whole thing with Cruz, about 2 years ago, I was up in Michigan at my mother-in-law's, and I was looking up this lady on News with Views named Kelly Nielsen, K-E-L-L-E-I-G-H. All right, she spells it the good old Irish way. And she does a lot of research. And her thing is enemies on the left, false friends on the right. And she did an article which got my attention. Quote, Ted Cruz isn't Larry McDonald. Now, if you're going to bring up Larry's name, and I'm an old John Birch, so you know this is almost like blood with me. If you're going to bring up Larry's name, you know something. And she didn't know any of the people that I knew that knew Larry. But we had an interesting conversation. I think her research is good. And Cruz is bad news. First of all, he is not a man. He cannot run for president. He was born in Canada. One parent was a naturalized citizen. The other one wasn't. And I don't care what he says. I don't care what the father says. Father's an evangelist. He can't run for president legally. Neither can Rubio. Neither can Santorum. Neither can Jindal. Okay? Jindal, as far as I'm concerned, needs to go back to India. But if this is the best the Republican Party can give us, we're in trouble. I mean, like I said, the only one that I could support is Rand, and Rand needs to start distancing himself from the Republican Party and these other politicians. That's all. Instead of trying to appeal to everybody.
And find more people to run for Congress and have them go to scrapgovscrap.com and Lenny will teach them everything they need to know, which is nothing. All they need to know is one thing. They will vote no on everything because everything increases the size, the cost extends the reach and power of government.
Yeah.
There are two other things for office. You got to be able to answer two questions. Not less than two, not more than two. And the first question is real simple. How are you going to vote on a bill? I don't know. I'm going to look at that bill. I'm going to study that bill. But if that bill increases the size, the cost, extends the reach, power to government, I'm voting no. We got too much government now. The other question is, how are you going to solve a problem? And they always give you some kind of a strange problem, you know, a really weird problem. Well, you answer that question the same way. I'm not an expert in that issue. All right? Get me some experts. I'll listen to their solution. But in no way, shape, or form will I agree to more government or increasing the size, the cost, the reach, power to government as a solution to that problem. Okay? People are afraid to run because they think they know nothing. The average person out there got more sense than all these politicians.
Yeah, Hillary don't even know how to pump her own gas.
Yeah.
from the article I read on Hillary's health last night, she got some health issues. And the chances of that woman having a stroke in the middle of a speech are very good. Okay, I'd like to see Hillary Clinton go on trial for some of her crimes, but I don't want to see her get a stroke, you know.
Right.
I'd rather see her doing the rest of her life in jail in Texas or Oklahoma. You know, conspiracy to blow up a federal building where everything points at you. There was a lot of paperwork in the Murrah building that night concerning Whitewater. Excuse me? Who had motive in that crime?
Right, the client.
And, of course, let's make the militias look bad. Let's do this. Let's do that. That's a conspiracy. That is a pretty serious crime. The other thing with Hillary Clinton is when she was a special counsel to the Democratic Party during Watergate, and, you know, I'm 62, so I've seen a lot. She made a remark that Nixon perjured himself. Well, Nixon lied, but he didn't lie under oath. So he could not have perjured himself. Whereas when Bill Clinton was on trial for a very, very minor offense, that Monica Lewinsky thing, she had been on trial for treason. But when he was on trial and he lied under oath, and Hillary said he didn't perjure himself. Now, perjury is one of the worst crimes a public official can make.
Right,
okay.
And that whole Monica Lewinsky thing was also a cover-up for other things they were doing.
Well, basically, the Lewinsky thing, Lewinsky's father, who I think is dead, it was a Jack Lewis. He anglicized his name. And he was a major fundraiser for the Democratic Party. What this guy would do, he would go to the rich Jews in Hollywood and raise money for the Democratic Party and take 10%. Essentially, what Clinton did to that young lady was disgusting, but what he did to this country was worse. Now, we had a lady from Idaho who has passed on, Helen Chenoweth, good patriot. When Helen went to Congress in 1994, she was talking about impeaching him for treason, and when she got to Washington, they were already preparing a cell for Bill Clinton in Leavenworth. She had an ironclad case, and that was putting the American military out of Ethiopia or Somalia. Mogadishu, Somalia, right? Okay, Somalia. He put the American military in Somalia under a UN command. And if you remember the helicopter that went down, remember that?
Black Hawk Down.
Black Hawk Down. They made a movie about it.
Yeah.
The poor guy that survived is homeless, if he's still alive. But essentially, the copter went down, mayday, mayday, mayday. Our command had to get an okay from this French general who should have basically said, do what you got to do to save my man, to save this man. This guy wanted to think about it. This is a man, this is a ship under his command. And at that point, Clinton should have been toast. I had people tell me at that time that, well, you had American troops in World War II under Montgomery. Yeah, but the commanding general was still Eisenhower, for better or worse. The commanding general would have been patting a war to last exactly one day in Europe. You know why?
Why?
Kano, you know why? Because Rommel would have put the Wehrmacht with Patton to wipe out Stalin without a problem. Romney was actually a pretty good guy in real life. But, you know, people have no sense of history. They don't know where they're coming from. They're taught a bill of goods in school. And I see a cat that likes chicken soup who's going to her hiding place. You know, I see Carol Kay, a nice video of you. You should know Carol Kay is the world's greatest bass player. Well, she's already smelling it, Diane. She, you know. Yeah, I smell it,
Diane.
Well,
that's like Gaddafi. You know, Gaddafi wasn't all that great of a person, but he wasn't the evil person that our government made him out to be so that we had an excuse to go bomb the hell out of his country.
No, he was just one of the last few countries that didn't have the IMF in it. So they had to put an end to him and to his regime, or he was going to sit there and do the gold standard all up and down the east coast of Africa.
And the funny thing with Gaddafi was he was living in a tent because until every Libyan in Libya could afford a house, he was prepared to live in a tent. The problem I've always had with Gaddafi, a lot of reading on Libya. Libya was a desert country set up by the United Nations. And they needed a leader. So the United Nations convinced this Bedouin chief, Idris, to be the king of Libya. Idris knew how to be a good Bedouin chief, but he had no idea how to run a state. So he got a lot of, quote-unquote, young nationalistic Turks, college-educated guys, to help him. And he had a, I can't get the book out right now. He got a young man who's his interior minister who said, look, King, we could do a lot of good here. We can, you know, open up our oil fields. So instead of opening up the oil fields to the Seven Sisters, they opened up the oil fields to these little companies, these little producing companies, like Cano Producing, Irish Producing, the Martin Davis Oil Company, Occidental Petroleum. And these people would come off the plane, get a glass of water, go into a tent at the Benghazi airport, and pick a lease, and then bring in the equipment and start exploring. And they were hitting. Essentially, what wound up happening was that when the king went to Europe for cancer treatment, you had gun control in Libya, and Colonel Gaddafi and six revolvers took over the government. The first thing he did was he threw out the oil companies. He brought in Rockefeller and British Petroleum. So that should tell you what's going on. When Gaddafi got religion or Gaddafi got power, he started realizing he made a mistake. But it's too late at that point. You know, when you have little businesses competing, they usually get things done, and they get things done that make sense in their pocket and on the consumer level. When you got these big companies, they're nothing more than a restriction of trade. And I've read a lot of books on oil and Shell and the Rothschilds, Standard Oil, and it's about buying power and controlling a market. That's communism.
Can I ask?
I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I was just wanted to ask some, but I don't know if Raiden is. I was.
No, be my guest, please.
Yeah, thanks. I was just wondering what you guys thought about all the Syrians and what should happen with the Syrians that they're talking about, you know, coming here. What do you guys think? What's your opinions? That whole mess of all the poor Syrians running from the ISIS and all that tragedy, and then Obama is the one that started the whole thing, but, you know, when he removed the troops and all that, but what?
ISIS is a construction made to make us live in fear. It's basically our own government, or at least the powers that be, manipulating us.
I agree with that. If you want to get some good information about this refugee resettlement nonsense. These are not refugees, but if you want to get some good information, it's called Refugee Resettlement. Her name is Ann Cochran, C-O-C-H-R-A-N. Essentially, the U.N. is forcing us to bring in these people, and the federal government is paying these religious groups that are, as contractors to resettle them. And everybody's making money except us. You know, I tried to look at this Syrian thing the same way I looked at the Mariel boat people, the Carter administration, the Cubans, the Vietnamese boat people towards the end of the Vietnam War. It ain't the same. These people are being shoved down our throat. I don't want them here. Call me racist, fascist, bigot, anti-Semite. I don't care what you call me. I don't want them here.
Yeah,
they are not here to assimilate. Somalis are not here to assimilate. The Ethiopians are not here to assimilate. The West Africans aren't here to assimilate. The Indians, the Hindus are not here to assimilate. They're here to take over. And I think when you start realizing that it's these congressmen that are writing special programs for these groups in the form of tax credits, government money to buy businesses, excuse me. How come I can't buy a business? You know? You want to come here on a level playing field like my grandma Ray came? That's fine. But that's not what's happening. They're giving special deals, special privileges, and it's got to stop. And it stops in Congress when the money gets cut off.
We'll be getting Obama's mistake.
It's worse than Obama's mistake.
Yeah, it is worse now. I mean, it's like a snowball is just tumbling out of control. It's very
dangerous.
The Republican Party.
If I can get enough people in one place that I can witness enough signatures to get myself on the ballot, I'll run for Congress. I just got to get enough people
I'll
in
vote
Missouri.
For you.
Yeah. Well, you got to be in Missouri. But the problem with Missouri is I have to physically witness every signature. And I have to sign an affidavit saying that I witnessed every signature. And I've not been able to get enough signatures on my own with, you know, my job because I'm gone all the time. But
regular politicians don't have to meet that criteria.
Well, no, if you work for the New World Order, you don't have to meet that criteria. Just
I'm sure McCaskill does that every time she runs.
Right.
I'm sure Cleveland does it every time he runs. Yeah.
Does what?
It's the same thing. It's to keep us out and them in, and what we need to do is to create a situation where the people see them as the enemy, which is what they are.
Right.
You need a situation where it's either us versus them, and it doesn't matter who the us is. It's a question of recognizing who the them are. The them are Rush Limbaugh, Hillary Clinton, Paul Ryan, Obama. They're all in bed together. Marsha Blackburn. I was talking to a guy today who has had a lot of experience in a lot of political campaigns. Knew a lot of people in the South that I knew at one time, and I think we could work together. But remember what I'm trying to do this without money.
Right.
Because that's,
well,
that's
yeah.
another way they get you.
Right. You was telling me about that. If you're raising money and you make a typo on your files, they can basically throw you in prison for what? What was it called again?
Well, they'll try to bribe you first. They'll try to say, look, if you vote on this spending bill, we'll overlook it. But the whole thing is we've got to get rid of this Federal Election Commission. That was something else they set up during that civil rights thing. Federal Election Commission is designed to keep you off the ballot. It's designed to give the federal government to say who can run, who can't. And if you raise money, that's when they really get you. A couple of years ago, this lady ran for Congress in North Carolina. I mean, she was a lefty. She raised money. She made a few mistakes. And the Federal Election Commission hit her with like a $250,000 fine. Well, in comes so-called libertarian John Stossel, and I wouldn't trust anybody that's on TV. Nobody. That includes Judge Neapolitano. At the right time, he's going to make a mistake. John Stossel goes to bat for this woman. And there was an agreement made. You know, she corrected the mistake, and that was it. But at least he exposed the Federal Election Commission for what it is. That's got to go. The other thing that's got to go is you got to get a congressman up there with some belly, with some guts. And he needs to make a proposal, simple proposal, that no public money will be used for these non-governmental organizations. A non-governmental organization is a private company that advocates something. Sierra Club advocates taking the land. Sarah Brady advocates taking the guns. Planned Parenthood advocates killing the unborn. They advocate something. They get money from the government. Why should my money go to any of those people?
Yeah.
The other thing
would
be,
when they're advocating against us.
And the other thing with these groups that advocate something, they're all members of the UN. When the UN started, they were going to have a, in addition to the Security Council, General Assembly, it's like a hall of the people. And I would have to get a 1948 UN yearbook on this. But they were going to have all of these NGOs represent the various political factions around the world. Interesting. That stopped very quickly, by the way. We need to cut the money off for all of these NGOs. If they want to advocate something, fine. That's the First Amendment. Go out and raise your own money. Knock on doors.
That goes back to my taxes theft deal. If you really believe in that agency, you would contribute to it directly yourself. Especially if they didn't tax the shit out of you, so you didn't have extra money.
Yeah. Right.
Use my language. I'm the host.
You're right. I mean, why would a gun owner pay for his Victor Hugo used to say that in a democracy you vote for your own executioner. Why would a gun owner support the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms?
Right.
You know.
Oh yeah, I went to this website earlier, the one that you sent me. I was going to share it, but I was on my phone, and I wanted to share it with my for Congress profile, and I can't do that with my phone. I don't know why. So I'll get on there with my computer and share that.
But I saw that yesterday, and I felt that was very poignant. I don't want to see this country ever having to deal with another so-called civil war. The civil war of 1861, 1865 was a states war. An actual civil war is the population rise up against the government. People have to realize they've been made into suckers. And it has to stop. They have to identify who did it. Your school board did it. Your history teacher did it on orders. These big companies are under the impression that if they fail, they can taxpayer money. It's fascism. It doesn't work. And I think once people start realizing what has happened, it's going to get ugly in this country. It's going to get very ugly for the Emanuel Cleavers, the Jane Nixon, since you guys are in Missouri, the Blackburns, extremely ugly. They can't be allowed to walk away from it. They can't be allowed to take the dough and run. That's all. I don't have an answer to that. But I'm sure this clown in the White House has plans for the next 3 to 5 weeks, and they're not going to be good.
Yeah.
In other words, keep your powder dry.
So, anything positive anybody wants to end the podcast on?
Think about running for office. Think about running for office.
No, how dare we do that?
Yeah, well, you know, the Bible always says, you know, we should, not the Bible, but psychology says, because even in the Bible, God started out positive, and then you know, reprimands and then finalizes with something good. So we should end on a good note and give people some hope and some happiness to think about, as well as, you know, some of the other things that, you know, we need to do and focus on.
Well,
yeah.
My concept of self-taxation is I'm slowly building a community around me that that people are taking care of each other. You know, they don't have to seek out government agencies to support them. They turn to each other and get some help. You know, it's slowly building up. So,
it's kind of like the Ubuntu philosophy that I was talking about earlier. You know, we need to find the local name for that. But, yeah, it's basically where you don't need money. Your community, everyone in the community gives to the community what they have to offer, and everyone receives from the community what they need. And if it's not good for the whole community, it's no good at all.
That's a good way
to
put it.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're working on that already in our community. CES is another option. CES is a community exchange
system.
CES is
a good stepping stone to that.
Yes. It's a good stepping stone. It's kind of like barter, but it still works like a currency system. But it's a good stepping stone towards getting away from currency altogether, away from taxation, away from all of that, and bringing the community together, you know. Homeschooling, you know, having the people within the community educating the children within the community instead of having some bureaucrat tell us who needs to teach our children, you know.
And
we as a community can come together and we can start picking our teachers.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things that the Ubuntu philosophy is preaching. But yeah, we've been doing, you know, well, we've been believing in a lot of this stuff for a long time anyways. But that's one of the things that we're working on in our community, just being a community-oriented mentality where everybody comes together and everybody helps each other. And there's no theft. There's little theft and little fraud. You're not going to weed out all the evil, but you're going to weed out a lot of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the community exchange system kind of weeds out the fraud because eventually people kind of like, oh, I never received that service from this guy, you know, so... You know, it gets disputed. You know, you get enough people disputing your claims, it's kind of obvious, you know, and so people will stop doing business with you.
Well, another nice thing about community exchange system is we create the money out of thin air from our labors and our services, not some banker who has no clue what's going on in our lives and who basically sells us into slavery, or, you know, congressman or whoever sells us into slavery because they're printing money and then saying that we owe them whatever for it. You know, we create the money out of thin air with our labors, and then it basically cancels out when it comes back to us, you know, through the system.
Good idea.
So that's a really nice thing about that. I mean, but... You know, once the community comes together and starts, you know, phasing out money altogether and doesn't need it anymore, CES may only be needed, or, you know, gold standard or whatever may only be needed for somebody who's new to the community and hasn't, you know, establish themselves or whatever, you know. But even at that, if the community has an abundance to offer, they won't care. They'll welcome the stranger in with open arms and say, hey, welcome to our community. You know, we have all of these things, you know, and what do you have, you know, and you can, what are your skills? What are your gifts? What are your talents? And they can just give their gifts and talents freely, do what they love to do, follow their heart, follow their passion, going to have to worry about making a living off of it because everybody will enjoy it. And, you know, so everybody's enjoying everybody's fruits of their labors. It sounds the way that the communist way professes to be, or, you know, there is no perfect communism, but the way the communist theory works is everybody pitches in and everybody reaps the rewards. But the problem is the government controls it, and that's the problem. We need to get the government out and let that system work within itself. Let everybody contribute to the community, and everybody gets out of the community without somebody controlling it.
The difference being is, you know, well, you said the government controls it. The difference being is it compelled service or is it, you know, voluntary service? You know, do you give it freely or is it compelled from you?
Right, is it forced out of you?
You know.
Whether it's at gunpoint or whether they're going to take your house because you don't contribute.
Yeah. You know, the greatest compulsion that should be, you know, one man on another should be, well, you're not contributing, so I'm going to leave you alone.
Right.
I'm not going to give to you because you're just taking, you know, so.
Well, you know. And food, really. I mean, what do we really need besides food, clothing, and shelter? We don't really need a whole lot more than that. All the other stuff is just bonus. It's extra. And, you know, we have all these, you know, starving people in the world, you know, in this country alone, let alone the world, but in this country alone. And we have, you know, really we have no reason for people to be going hungry. But
no.
One of my campaigns that I'm working on, one of my campaigns that I'm working on is, you know, bringing people together to, you know, learn the homeless how to grow their own food, how to forage, you know, how to guerrilla garden and stuff like that, so that they're not dependent on these food shelters to give them this processed garbage that's no good for them in the first place and only making them more ill mentally or physically. You know, so that's one of my projects that I'm working on is getting more people together to teach the homeless and the less fortunate how to find their own food, free food and medicine that grows everywhere, wild. And we can be cultivating that, you know. We could be growing more of that stuff in our own yards instead of trying to grow grass. I mean, people are trying to kill dandelions in their yards. You got Scots on television telling you to kill your dandelions. They're evil, and they're actually good for you. They're medicine.
It's better than carrots.
Yeah. You know,
they help your eyesight.
They
help your liver.
You know, we could be educating these people how to, you know, how to be less dependent on the system and be more free.
Yeah, nothing like a good glass of dandelion wine.
There you go.
I haven't tried that yet.
I haven't tried dandelion. Dandelion tea is good, though. I've tried that. But I eat dandelions all the time. And at first they were really bitter, but, you know, of course, I understand in the winter they're sweeter, but I think I've acclimated to them a little more now, too. But I just take juice with me, you know, juice or tea when I'm out foraging. And anytime I get eat stuff that's too bitter, I just chase it with some juice, and I'm cool, you know. And I'm getting my, you know, getting my greens. That's in the summer, at least. That's how I get most of my greens while I'm out here on the road is I go foraging. So it's actually mostly in the winter. In the summer, I can get more fruits and vegetables. More fruits in the summer than I can in the winter. In the winter, it's...
What was it, two winters ago, I got fat on rice, beans, and whatever I could dig out of the ground.
Yeah, he lived through the winter just off foraging. So, I mean,
well,
he can do that.
Yeah, I have rice and beans, but but the majority of my nutritional intake was what I dug out of the ground, what I foraged for.
Right, so he can do that. You know, we can teach a lot of people how to... Yeah, and he got fat doing it. We could teach a lot of people how to survive, you know, we and educate ourselves for that matter. But, I mean, you know, we can solve the hunger problem here in the United States real quick that way.
Speaking of survival, I have a question. I need advice. I don't know if I can ask for that real quick or not. Here, when I'm trying to make a fire, right? I know how to make a fire. The problem is my kindling got wet. And so now I'm trying to, because, you know, I have to keep it natural with no chemicals for the reason of the snake bite with the dog, right? So you were telling me, right? So I can't, like, stick a piece of paper in there, right, and do it the easy way because it's got chemicals in the paper, right? How do I get the fire going? I can't get the freaking fire going. It's all freaking wet. It's not soaking wet. It's just, I mean, everything's wet outside, right, pretty much.
Well, the paper might be okay. What I was talking about is don't get...
Oh, okay. So I can start it. I can start it with just paper. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's just
what I was saying
scraping
was
the charcoal.
What I was saying was don't use treated lumber.
Right.
You
okay.
Know, use,
I didn't want to put any kind of chemical involved in the whole thing, but it's okay too.
Right. Yeah, just to light the fire. That's fine.
Okay. All right. Thanks for that.
Yeah. She's talking about... you know, making her own charcoal for alternative health. You know, charcoal internally or even externally, you know, will help suck toxins out of the body. And so she's making her own charcoal for her dog who got bit by a snake. So, yeah. But, yeah, that should be fine.
That's something. If you're using your own charcoal, you might want to look into wood gasifiers.
Into
they
what?
Make very sweet wood gasifiers.
You
get
mean
heat
an
off.
Artificial thing that makes the fire keeps the fire going.
Well, it's basically a metal tube. Triple-walled. Yeah, it's triple-walled. It has holes cut to a certain size, and it controls the burn so that. You burn off all the volatile oils and things like that off of the wood, and it leaves behind pure charcoal. And it's not quite activated charcoal, but it's better than like the charcoal you buy in the store.
Okay, I need to have some.
Yeah, and so look up wood gasification, and there's lots of ways of heating up your place with that. And the byproduct is you get this beautiful charcoal that you can use for medicinal purposes, for running your vehicle, for improving your soil. You know, it's just good all the way around.
Would it be a terrible for me, being that I'm having an emergency right now? You know, because I could put the paper and all that, but if I can't keep it going because I don't have enough. I have a good amount, but it may not be enough to keep it going, being that the wood sort of got wet. Is it going to be so terrible if I use one of those little emergency, what are they called? They're like in foil paper. I know it's going to have some sort of probably chemical stuff, but it keeps the fire going.
You mean the wax?
What?
The wax log that they sell in the store?
Yeah, it's like a little tiny thing, though, like about this is small. It's like, it looks like in a candy wrapper kind of thing, sort of, but a big candy wrapper. So, but I haven't opened one yet, but I'm thinking, would that be okay still if I were to, can I still burn the wood with that and then...
A fire log? Are you talking about a fire log?
Yeah, well, it's not a log. It actually looks like no bigger than, I'm trying to think of a good example. You know, it fits in the palm of your hand and easy. It's in a foil paper. It's like an emergency fire starter. You know, it keeps... I think you just light it and it just lights right up. It probably has kerosene or something. I don't know. It probably has something that keeps it going, right? I don't know how many hours it burns for, but it's similar to a fire log, but not huge. It's tiny.
Yeah, I know the Duralogs, they have wax in them and they're mostly sawdust. I don't know. I don't know what's in the wax.
But would that be, could it be bad though to do the fire with that, and the wood that I'm going to be burning to use for charcoal is being burned by that kind of chemical? Is that going to be unsafe for the dog, or maybe not? Maybe I should avoid that just to be safe.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to stay natural, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep it natural. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep it going. I should say I could probably keep it natural if I really put my mind to it. You know, I'm sure where there's a will, there's a way. But I just didn't know if that would. It sounds to me like it's maybe not a good idea. If there's a doubt, then I probably shouldn't do it to be safe. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
no artificial starter.
Just try to avoid anything strange. You know. But what you might do is you might do two fire pits. You do one fire pit where maybe you use strange things like plastic to get it going. But then you dig some of the coals out in order to get another fire going that you kept clean.
Well, right now I just have one fire pit, and I need to get, and so I'm just working on the one fire pit, and it's anyway. So yeah, just dealing with the moment.
Can't you just put a little gasoline on that to start out with, or some diesel fuel? Won't that burn out and dissipate out?
Is it okay to like throw gasoline in there, or won't that be not
I wouldn't
for
want
the
to
wood?
Do that at all. That actually would leave a lot of strange residue.
I shouldn't do that. See, I don't know.
Well,
I just keep adding a bunch of paper.
Less residue than diesel, but yeah.
So basically the best thing is just to get like a newspaper and just keep wadding little wads and little wads until the wood really catches, and then, hey. I better put me on myself on mute. Until it finally burns good, right? Just to keep it the old-fashioned way like that.
Yeah, I usually shred my newspaper in order to get it to burn right.
Yeah, so that was a yes?
Yeah.
With newspaper and don't put anything else. Just keep throwing little wads. Okay, I'll just do it that way. Okay.
Yeah,
you
we'll
got cardboard,
see about...
I'd use cardboard.
What's that?
If you had cardboard, I'd get cardboard. And.
Oh, that's a good idea, because it'll last.
Keep your wood dry so you can burn it.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, guys, for that.
No problem.
The diesel fuel won't dissipate out of there and purify itself?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it'll still leave resin. I know gasoline, because I used to haul fuel. Gasoline will evaporate just without burning it. Gasoline will evaporate and not leave hardly any resin, where diesel will. Diesel is more oily, so it has a lot more base to it. So I'm sure it would leave a lot more residue afterwards, after burning it, than gasoline would. Because diesel's basically fuel waste.
Have you got a tarp? Has she got a tarp?
Yeah, I don't know. Probably.
If she didn't build too big a fire, she could string a tarp up between some trees and elevate it. Maybe, you know, if she could get up like 10 foot, keep the rain off the fire, and then keep a small fire, you know what I'm saying? Too big a fire, it'll just burn a hole in the tarp.
Right. Well, she's just making charcoal for her dog right now.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, you know, for a medicinal purpose. So she's not going to be doing this very often. She's just trying to get something done now.
Now, where does she live?
Got bit by a snake.
Where does she live at, and where does the guy with the Eastern accent live at?
Where do I live?
Yeah. What state are you
Lewis
in?
Lewis County, Tennessee.
Yeah, but he's running for Congress in Tennessee.
Oh, in Tennessee. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds good. And what about the
Ladner for Congress?
Okay.
Well, she likes to be incognito, but she's down south central somewhere.
Oh, okay, southern Missouri or maybe Arkansas, that's fine. Yeah, I ain't looking for towns, I'm just looking for states.
Yeah, no, it's cool. Yeah, she's south central. Midwest.
Not Missouri, apparently.
But,
Arkansas. I got a lot of relatives down in Arkansas, down near Darnell and Russellville, Arkansas. But anyway.
Right on. Yeah, we're from Missouri, David and I. David.
Well, what about me?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I know who you are. Joe Mama.
Yeah, I've been in Missouri my whole life. Almost 50 years
right,
now.
Right, right.
So, born and bred.
I forgot which caller you were.
Oh, I got you. Hey, the caller that's calling from Tennessee, I got a good friend who lives in Memphis, but how did he hear about this podcast?
Oh, Lenny and I go back to 2007. We bumped into each other at a Flying J in, what was it, Chickasaw, Oklahoma?
2008 Chickasaw, Oklahoma.
Oh, okay.
Chickasaw, yeah. Oh, that's right. I hooked up with my business partner, Terry, in 2007. Yeah, 2008, I had my web address on my truck, and he had his web address on his truck, or his running for U.S. Senate on his truck. And he had written down my website when I came into the truck stop. And I went into the truck stop to do my thing. I came back out. And then I went over to promote my thing to him because I'm in advertising. And I've kind of been like his IT guy since.
Hmm. Okay.
So, yeah.
Good deal. It sounds like a fellow that I knew as a Boilermaker, and I was trying to figure out if I might know him or not, but I don't think I know him in Tennessee unless he moved. But,
oh, okay. Yeah, he used to be a flatbatter.
Okay, what's his name?
A trucker, too. Lenny Ladner.
Lenny. My name is Joe, and I'm a
Boilermaker. Hey, Joe, how you doing?
I'm a Boilermaker. You know what a Boilermaker is?
Well, you make boilers, I hope.
Yeah. Work at the power plants and refineries, like Tennessee Valley Authorities. I worked at one of those places in Tennessee before.
Okay.
Which is part of the corrupt system.
Yeah,
so for real.
I was just going to say earlier, I think I was talking, and I was on mute, but I think I wasn't. I don't know if you guys heard or not, but I didn't mind you guys knowing I was from Texas. Did that come out?
Okay.
Or was that was on mute when
you
said that? I said it opposite again. But anyway, hello everybody from Texas. So it's nice.
I was just wondering what state everybody was from. I was down to nothing.
I had the same question earlier in my mind. I wanted to ask the same thing because I thought it's very interesting to see where everybody's calling from, you know. Or, I mean, where everybody's from, you know, talking.
Yep.
That's interesting.
Three Missouri is one Texas and one Tennessee.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Maybe we'll all meet up again sometime.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, every Friday, 6:30.
Oh,
although,
okay.
Well, as summer rolls around, we may be pushing it back to like 7:30, 8 o'clock. Because David Irish, the other David, 7:30, 8 o'clock is better for him. So we may be pushing it back to 7:30-ish.
Cool.
And, of course, he can always beep in anytime he wants. So we say it's an hour, but it's already been over an hour and a half, I'm sure. Let's see. Look here.
Almost 2 hours.
Call.
2 hours.
Yeah, it's been 2 hours and 4 minutes now. So
our listeners won't be able to stand it.
Oh, no.
I've only been here an hour and 25 minutes. I come in late.
Yeah.
Hey, Kano, that's all right. I've got a podcast I download from time to time. The guy has been known to do 14-hour podcasts.
14-hour podcasts.
Huh.
Tragedy and hope.
Oh, yeah, David's got a bunch of podcasts. So I was telling Pepper Girl,
Truth Seeker.
There you go. Truth Seeker.
Pepper Girl.
To get in touch with David.
Yeah.
Because he's got a whole list of different podcasts, and a lot of them are health podcasts, a lot of them are freedom fighter podcasts. Some of them are, I guess, religious. All kinds of stuff. So
interesting. Yeah.
Well, it's all religious.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, Uncle Sam, wants us to look to him as he is our God, but nonetheless. Yeah, this is, well, we could talk about that next week. But, yeah, he's got a whole bunch of podcasts. And there's a couple of them that I actually like that I've collected that I would like to upload to our website, too. And I have unlimited hosting now, so I can put all kinds of stuff in 2 hours. It's not a big deal. That's why I started this podcast, because I now have unlimited hosting. So, yeah, you can just go to DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com or DDD-podcast.com to see and listen to all of our podcasts. But, yeah, Demented Dungeons and Dragons is our play word for our podcast, because DD&D is what we're calling our off-grid project because of David. Well, David Irish was joking around and called us Demented Dungeons and Dragons. So when David Ray and I were talking about putting together a podcast, we decided to call it Demented Dungeons and Dragons. But it's actually, but that's so freaking long, and I can't never remember how to spell it because I can't spell. So
no, plus, Dungeons and Dragons may come after us for stealing their name.
True. So that's just the domain name. But if you go DDD, you can go David and David Podcast or DDD-podcast.com, and it'll all go to the same place.
Right.
So I bought all the domain names, all three of them. So.
Yeah, you're good at doing that.
I am. I own like 300 domain names. Hey,
right,
I get him a discount.
That domain name buying.
Yeah, I'm a domain name guru. But, that's nothing. I had almost 1,000 at one time, so. But I have a reseller account, and I get them, you know, really, not really cheap. I just get them cheaper. So it gives me a little bit of leeway. So, but it goes up every year. So every year I try to cut back on domain names because I don't want to spend that extra money. But I just try to get competitive domain names, you know. So like every variation of like David and David Podcast or DD&D Podcast and DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com. So I try to get different variations so that, you know, people can use different avenues to get to us, you know. Like my other website, truckerdate.com, I've got truckerdating.com, trucker this, trucker that, you know, trucker's passion, and all these other competitive domain names to help me. And then, of course, one of them used to be my competition, and I pretty much squished them, two of them, actually. So now I own their domain names. But now that I have an affiliate program, I'm going to start letting those domain names go because I'm going to want people to use them to advertise for me and make money off of me. So, but yeah, that's why I own so many domain names. I pretty much only have like a couple dozen that I use, and then the rest of them are just miscellaneous ones that point to where I am, or old projects that I tried to get off the ground, and they never went anywhere. So I just hold on to them for a couple of years, redirect them, and then let them go. But yeah, so Demented Dungeons and Dragons. You can listen to all of our future podcasts and past podcasts and other favorite podcasts that we collect along the way. Mm-hmm. And we'll be here every Friday. So anybody wants to join in, they can join in.
Everybody.
We may change that. But we may change it in the future, but it'll be gradually, and we'll let everybody know. Go ahead.
Everybody that's here tonight, besides me, has already been here before altogether?
No,
just
David and I.
Oh, okay, so there's others that are new also tonight?
Yep.
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, yeah, actually Joe Mama was on last week, sort of.
Oh, yeah, well, I was cutting the deer up and David was listening. Working on his phone. That's
yeah,
right.
we had another caller last week. And so her and I pretty much ran ran the show while David and Joe was butchering a deer.
I told Kano he needed to fire his co-host because he didn't call in on time, and then he had to mute himself because there's too much noise in the background.
Right.
And let me just ask a question. I'm sorry to change the topic real quick, but I'm having this emergency here. Well, any of these new guys or anybody wouldn't happen to know of anything that's really good to do for massive swelling for a dog, like some sort of natural.
Lenny knows some alternative health, too. So do you have any alternative ideas?
No, I don't. I'm sorry.
It's horrific, the swelling. It's a terrible thing. And then underneath it, near where his heart is, it's extremely swollen in his back, like from his foot to the ankle, all the way up to his thigh, extreme swelling, like if he just got bit by a rattlesnake. And he's bloated his stomach now on top of it. So, and this happened a month ago now, the bite, about 3 weeks ago to a month ago. So I've been battling this and I've gone to the doctor and everything. The doctor put him on anthrax pill, and the anthrax pill, after giving him six of those, he actually declined and it was actually killing him, that anthrax pill. So I took him off the pill and I'm giving him IV fluids now. But I don't know if I should give him, I guess, another two penicillin shots and steroid dexamethasone. I gave him Benadryl. I just don't know if I'm killing this dog worse with what I'm giving him because he's so freaking inflamed and bloated now and he's... Or am I helping him? Am I hurting him? Fluids will help, but I just don't know. I don't know if he's got gout or what he's got, but he's turning purple.
Talking about your dog?
Yeah, he's 110 pounds, and he's turning purple right now. He's dying. He's dying. I hate to say that, but it's not looking good. I just don't know if anybody knew anything, but if not, it's okay. I'm winging it the best I can. He's supposed to have a blood transfusion next week if he survives it.
For those who don't know, her dog was bit by a snake not too long ago. About, was it 3 weeks ago or?
Yeah, about 3 weeks ago was by the worst rattlesnake here. It's the Templar, the wood rattlesnake or I don't know what the other name is.
Probably a lot of tissue damage.
It's extremely poisonous on us. It's a deadly snake. The doctor said the poison wouldn't be in him at this point anymore, but the doctor said he's never dealt with this, so this is new for him. He didn't really know what to do. So
we're dealing with the aftermath of a snake bite.
Right. With dead muscle mass in the back, and now his whole body was not swelled like this. Before I took him to the doctor, I was actually seemed to be doing better care for him until it got this anthrax pill in him, which I don't know if it's... He's not taking the anthrax pill anymore, but he went in the opposite direction after I took him to the doctor. And so now I'm going back to my old-fashioned ways, and I don't know. I just don't know what I'm doing. I'm sort of playing doctor, winging at the best I can.
Medicine at the veterinarian?
What's that?
The veterinarian couldn't give him nothing for the snake bite?
No, the doctor didn't know what to do. He said he's only used to dealing with copperheads and corals, which he said you'd be dead in half an hour anyway. And this dog has been bit before by copperheads. At least two or three times before, and his head turned like a melon and everything, but I was able to do what I always do, and he pulled out it, you know. But this was a different kind of rattler. This is the true rattler. They're usually not even found more East Texas, but they're the wood rattler or the timber rattler. They're bad, you know, 12 feet long, and the diameter is humongous. This was not a 12-footer, but it was still, you know. So I don't know. So right now he's totally inflamed, and I just don't know. I just don't know.
Did you save the snake for some boots later?
No, and in fact, I have a guilt trip about it because I should have killed it or I wouldn't be having this problem, but I was so scared of it that I was like a mouse with an elephant. An elephant with a mouse. I was having this problem, but I can tell you that I'm going to go on a rampage one of these days, and I'm going to become a hunter, and I'm going to slaughter them all. that I can find after this, because I can't believe what the trauma that it's caused. I just can't believe that this happened. And this poor dog is just...
What kind of dog do you have?
It's like a... honey. Well, he's a rescue, but he's... I think it's he's just... he's like a big pit... He's not a typical pit bull, but he's like a bull. He's the really big one with the long legs. He looks like a Dogo Argentino, if anybody knows what that is. He's white, and he looks very similar to a Dogo Argentino. But, big head, he's like the big pit bull types, the mastiff types. But anyway, the bloating, I don't know, the bloating in the stomach now. So I don't know if safflower, should I stay away from safflower oil? Does anybody know? Should I continue to give that or stay away, or that wouldn't have nothing to do with nothing?
I don't
think
safflower
oil in food. Huh?
I think that would be fine. Just stick to foods and try to stay away from the medicines.
But do you think I should stay away from penicillin at this point? If he's turning purple in the wrist and he's I don't think he can swell up much more than this. I gave him the Benadryl and the Benadryl didn't seem to bring anything down. I don't want to overdose on Benadryl. I don't know if I give him a dexamethasone, a steroid shot or two, but I don't know if steroid didn't seem to do much good. I mean, he seems to be going in the worst direction of inflammation. And what I don't like, he's turned purple in the hands and the wrist, and it's big. It's just getting worse and worse and worse. So I have to get very aggressive with whatever I do, I think. I mean, I can't just, at this point, I don't know. I don't know if the apple cider has made it worse, I wonder. Or if something, maybe the aspirin made it worse? The baby aspirin? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I just focus on health.
What's going to make it better?
Well, just healthy things like, things that
okay.
You know that are just healthy for him.
Just
food fluids.
And like a B, I should maybe
foods,
give him another B12
foods.
Shot. That wouldn't hurt him, right? Because that's
right.
Iron.
B vitamins are good. Good.
That would be okay. Okay, I'll do that then. Thanks for that. Okay.
Other than that, I just do, follow your instincts. And
what did you say?
I said other than that, I would just follow your instincts.
Okay.
You're intuitive enough.
Okay.
And you've got experience enough. Just follow your instincts and just give them what you know to be healthy, food-wise,
Did you say, forgive me because I'm a bit stressed and I don't remember what the answer was. Did you say I should stay away from penicillin? And the steroid shot, or should I? Right now, I should say no.
I don't do pharmaceuticals.
We don't know right now.
Yeah, I don't know because I don't do pharmaceuticals. So,
so you're
saying
stick with
personal,
not that. Yeah.
My personal conviction, I would say no, but I can't tell you an educated.
I don't know. I'm thinking penicillin. I don't think penicillin would hurt him, but the steroid, I'm not sure. Anyway, well, if anybody prays, his name is Daddy. So,
is it a diamondback rattlesnake?
It's a dog, yeah.
A diamondback rattlesnake?
Yeah, it's a dog that got bit by a rattlesnake.
A diamondback rattlesnake?
No, not a diamondback. It's called a wood. It's either a timber rattlesnake, it's a woods rattlesnake. They have a red mark on their head or their neck or somewhere on the top of their body.
There's one for the diamondback rattlesnake, but the Red Rock Biological Rattlesnake Vaccine developed by a California medical company to reduce help.
Of course, not going to help tonight.
Wow.
That would be something.
$700-$800 for a dose of it.
Four times now. He's...
Huh?
Somebody's breaking up. I don't know if it's me or you.
It's probably me. Let me go. I'm going on mute.
Okay. Well, like I said, I just, focus on, what you know to be healthy and nutritious. Plenty of fluids. And like I said, personally, I'd steer away from the pharmaceuticals, but you'll have to make your own call on that. And,
okay, thanks. I'm doing fluids right now.
Yeah.
And I'm not daddy. Yeah. And then I'm going to make charcoal if I after this. I didn't intend it, since I have a tendency to burn things.
All right, yeah. Well, we can also work on collecting some for you, too, because David's always burning stuff, so.
Yeah, we got truck drivers that can deliver, right?
That's it. Well, I was supposed to put together some herbs for her anyway, so charcoal's free, We can make you some charcoal. That's not a problem.
Yeah, but she needed it yesterday.
Yeah, right. I know.
Yeah.
I know. I don't. It's, and then the silver is the other thing I want to work on, but I have to find I'm not good with wires. I have to cut a wire open or something.
There's a lot of health food stores that have that stuff. They sell it on the side. If you call it a bunch of health food stores, like the lady up here in Missouri makes a double batch of it, and you put it in a dish and let your dog drink just the silver water, it would probably help.
Yeah, that silver water, yeah. Have you?
Yeah, the colloidal silver water.
It's okay to do the silver.
It's easy to make, but, there's people who make it all over the place. All you do is find someone. We got people in our area that make it.
Yeah. The silver water would help him now, right?
Well, yeah, it would help him.
Right. Now, what would be better? The silver water would be the best thing for him, better than charcoal. It might even save his life, right? I should go into...
I'm not an expert on...
The silver water? You think the silver water would save his life tonight? If I was able to get it, if I was able to make it? If he's bloated and turning purple?
What do you think, David?
What? Can y'all hear me?
I can give you a lady's phone number that could tell you. Let me see if I can get a hold of
her. I don't want to bug anybody. It's okay. No, I didn't know about the silver water. Anyway. Poor baby.
Yeah, I know it typically runs $10 or $20 a pound, maybe more. I've never bought it, but... From a local that makes it in our area, I think she said $10 or $20 a pound. But on the market, I'm thinking it's going to cost more than that. So not by much.
Silver's $14 an ounce. This lady sell a half gallon bottle for about $20. That's already pre-made.
Half gallon. That's like 4 pounds.
Dang it.
More than 4 pounds. 16. Hang on, I'll get my calculator.
Anyway, I have to.
128 ounces.
Yeah.
128 divided by 16. There's 8 pounds. 16 ounces and a gallon. So that'd be 4 pounds for $20. That's a good deal.
Yeah.
Well, hook me up. And I'll get some to through
Secret. She's on the square of El Dorado. She's got a little health food store there. Her name's Carolyn. I don't know the name of the
product. Oh.
It's right there on the square. She's held it.
Okay. I know her.
It's this lady in Texas. She needs it yesterday, so.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, get her number for me, because I don't have it anymore. I don't think I have it in my phone. Get it to David, and I'll have her contact the herb shop and have her.
It would probably be better for the lady in Texas to try to locate somebody down there that's already got some made. It would be a whole lot faster for her, I would bet.
No, it would probably be faster for her to order from Carolyn.
Really?
Yeah. Michelle doesn't get out much.
Oops. I can give her Carolyn's phone number right now, and she can call her tomorrow.
Okay.
And just ask her if it'll help her dog snake bite, and then she'll probably know. And then if she wants, she could go ahead and order some over the phone if she's got a debit card or, well, I don't know, maybe somebody could, she could send her a check. I don't know. I'm not sure if Carolyn takes cards over the phone or not.
All right, well, go ahead and do that.
The guy from Tennessee is still on here too?
Yeah, I'm still here, but I gotta pack it in pretty soon.
All right, well, you can sign up anytime. It's fine.
All right, folks, have a good night. I hope the dog gets better.
Yeah.
And thanks, Kato. Take care.
Not a problem. Thank you. You have a good night. Okay.
I'm just about located, but I don't know how to spell very good.
I'm gonna see if I got it in my phone too.
Am I muted or unmuted?
Unmuted.
Ready? It's 417-876-1864.
Can you get that, Kano?
417-876.
I got an
1854.
Because I've got a needle in my hand. I don't have a pair.
All right. 417-876-1854.
Right. And if you're going to talk to her, Kano, just ask her if that'll help a dog that's been snake bit. And, you know, if you can buy a half gallon or she might have gallon jugs of it, okay? It's going to be cheaper. I imagine if you bought 2 gallon jugs of it, she'd probably cut you a pretty good deal of it if she's got 2 gallons made already.
That would be great. You mean like a powder or like a powder form, you mean?
No, it'll be,
no,
it'll be
liquid.
Liquid?
Yeah, it'll be water. You'll put it in a dish and let the dog drink it. So every time
are we talking, I'm sorry, I got so much going on. Are we talking the silver or the carbon?
Yeah, you can get the carbon from them. They're making it, I guess. But the silver water, it's a double treated dose of water.
Oh,
so
okay, yeah.
Just let your dog drink the silver water. Oh, make sure you get enough until all that silver water is gone. At least let the dog drink that much of it. And, my appendix blew out, and that's one of the things that I did is drank silver water. I took virgin coconut oil. I took some, this might help your dog, this plantain, which is a leaf that you can get off the ground, but you can also buy it in a liquid extract form called plantain.
Right.
And there was something else I did, but I can't remember. But my appendix blew out, and it was about 12 weeks before I finally got surgery on it.
The thing is, yeah, of course, that comes in, yeah, the plantain, yeah. So how soon do you think that, so the silver, you mean something, she could mail it to me and I'd just get it in a few days or something?
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, of course, I have to make silver water tonight, I think. I'm going to try to make it tonight. But I'm interested in buying it because, especially if it has a good shelf life, you know, because I need it for emergencies. That way I got it, you know, and then I can make some tonight and do it the right way.
Yeah,
the only thing I didn't understand.
Well, yeah, if you can make your own, then you won't need to buy it.
The only thing is, when I was talking to the other David earlier, he was saying, the herbologist David, he was saying that I needed like electrical tape, and I asked if I could use gas tape instead because I don't have electrical tape. He said yes, and I'm wondering what am I supposed to tape? Do I really have to have the tape? Do you know?
Well, the tape would probably be to hold the wires in place. I'm not sure how to do that.
He was talking. Okay, but it's not necessary to tape up the connections, though, or anything.
Well, now, wait a minute.
From what I understand, you want both of the connections to be in the water, and sends the electricity through the water, and that's what extracts the nutrients from the silver and combines it with the water.
Okay, so let me ask you.
I've never looked up how to build one, so.
Yeah, it's supposed to be pure or 99.9999 pure silver or whatever, or the fine silver. If it says, I think, 0.999, I think it's still good. But if by accident the silver that I get is not of the purest form, but I think it is it going to harm the dog if I screw up and I use one a little bit less than pure? Does it not good? It's not good then for the dog to drink, right? It could be harmful.
I don't think it's that sensitive.
Well, as long as they don't have mix in it, and it's at least 90, 95% pure, I think it would be beneficial. I'm wondering if a solid solid silver coin, you know, one that's old, if she could take it with a pocket knife and scrape off a bunch and make powder out of it, and then put that powder right on the snake plate wound and maybe kind of rub it in, or maybe, I don't know, cut it with a knife a little bit and kind of rub that silver powder into the skin, into the bloodstream, and close it up with a Band-Aid. I wonder if that'd help any.
Yeah. God.
Yeah, silver's got a lot of healing powers.
Yeah, I'm going to look for some wire here soon and see if I can get the silver going and then the charcoal, too, both work on the two things. And so that, do you think that I can still continue the organic raw apple cider? That's not a problem for me to continue. You don't think that will be any reason why he's inflaming right now or anything, because I started that this morning? Probably not that, right? You think it's safe for him to still drink if I drizzle a little bit down his throat raw of the... That was supposed to be for gout, right? And we don't know if he has gout. If he's swelling up so bad, does it sound like gout still or
well,
not?
Well, the apple cider vinegar is not going to hurt him either way. It's
okay, so it won't hurt him, so I don't have to at least worry. So if anything, it will help, but it won't hurt, so I can give it to him.
Correct.
Okay. All right, well, thank you.
Yeah, well, okay, I'm looking at how to build your own silver, colloidal silver generator. And basically, all you got to do, if you have two silver coins that are pure silver, you know, and whatever, you can actually take any kind of plug, power source.
Well, I already got the power source rigged up. Your buddy helped me rig it up. I got 3 9-volt batteries, and they're already all connected, and I have it ready to go. But the problem I was having was the silver, because I have the silver, but they're supposed to be, and I have a bar, but they're supposed to be two bars that are the same. And all I have that's the same are the coins. So I have the Indian Buffalo, and it's fine silver, but it doesn't, it just says 99, I think it says 0.999.
Hook it up, put them in the water, hook the terminals up, drop them down in the water.
They should be just fine, right? The main thing is that I can't put the little alligator teeth, that part, that metal part can't be in the water. It's only the silver that's in the water, right? I think so.
I'm looking.
That's okay. I'll just do it that way to be safe anyway. Yeah.
It looks like that won't hurt anything.
Right. And then somebody, I think he said you can't leave it unattended, because I guess the battery, I have to make sure I don't leave it for more than 2 hours max. But if I leave it for less than 2 hours, even an hour would be better than nothing, right?
Correct.
Okay.
And it just won't be as strong.
Right. Okay. But say I'm fixing a crash, I'm so tired I can't stay up anymore, then I'll just at least something until the next day or something.
So that gal in Alvarado Springs, she does a double dose, so she might do it for 2 hours twice, because there's no more benefit after a double treatment. No matter if you put more silver in the water, there's not any extra additional benefit from more than two sessions of it.
Oh, really? How split apart should the sessions be, I wonder?
I don't know. Probably just pull them out of the water and put them back in again. I don't know. I don't really know. But I'm guessing if 2 hours is one session, I'd say 4 hours is as strong as you can get it and still have it be. You can make it stronger, but it won't do any more health benefit.
I thought you were supposed to take a little bit at a time, like spread it out a little, like, you know, several times a day or something, but I don't know.
I don't know for sure. She'd
well,
know,
in this case, this dog, you know, one dosage or two dosage is probably just get them right. That's really all he needs, probably just set him straight.
I would definitely try to scrape.
Yeah, I know that. Go ahead.
I'd definitely try to scrape some of it off with a pocket knife and put some of it on the wound and put a Band-Aid over it. And then
you mean just from the coin itself?
Yeah, just scrape some of the flakes off the coin and, you know, kind of get a real powdery and grainy and put it right on the wound and put a Band-Aid over it and then make,
oh
your, make yourself water.
I didn't think about that. Just you mean just get like the coin and just literally just go scraping it like you want to scratch it all up and go as hard as I can, and you thinking I'm going to get something off of that? It's
yeah,
soft?
Just scrape, you know, scrape small little particles off of it there.
Oh, because it's so fine, it will, something will cut. That's a great idea. And I just, and just leave it on him like that with a bandage over, on the outside of him. Or should I maybe dust it into the water bowl? Maybe I should go around with a coin and a knife everywhere I go and just...
Or maybe
just silver in the bowl for when I know I have somebody sick.
Well, actually, you might just be able to put a silver coin in the water bowl, period.
Hey.
And that alone would put silver in the water. It just
won't
put
it in
as fast as putting electricity to it.
Oh, my gosh, should I just go ahead and do that while I'm at it in their water bowls that they have? I might as well, right?
You can. I mean, people get health benefits from just wearing it, so.
Yeah, I'm gonna make a joke here, kind of serious, but kind of a joke. Can she get him to swallow a silver dime?
That's a great one. Hey, I do have, what happens, hey, listen, I know this sounds crazy, okay, but he might have a point, because I actually have little tiny bits of fine silver, and maybe I could give him a little one, and a doggy piece of meat. Would it help if he swallowed it?
It's called,
it wouldn't hurt.
And he can pass it through, you know, and keep an eye on
it. Tiny.
Keep an eye on it so you can collect it after it comes out the other end.
I ain't gonna collect it. Let it go to the ground, you know. They could just, it's pure. I don't feel like it's really,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I just came in from the middle of a conversation that sounds totally bizarre.
David's phone died, so he had to put it on a charger and then call back in.
Kano, what do you think about her scraping off some of that, putting it on the wound, scraping off some of it, you know, like just a real, just grams of it, okay, and put it in a little bit of meat and letting the dog swallow some of the scrapings, you know, not sharp-edged metal, just little shavings, you know, eat some of it and then go ahead and put some of it on the wound with a Band-Aid. And then go ahead and throw the coin in the dish and let him drink water out of the dish with the coin in there.
I think David would be more of an expert on that. So
it probably wouldn't hurt, though. It probably wouldn't hurt, yeah?
No, it wouldn't hurt.
Like I said, I just came in on the edge of the conversation. What are we talking about doing?
Is this a herbologist?
No, this is David Rain, the weedologist.
Oh, you just got on.
My phone died, and I had to recharge it for a while.
We're talking about scraping silver in the worst case scenario, because I hadn't been able to get the silver, I hadn't been able to make the actual silver water that I need to do. So in the meantime, is it okay for me to get...
silver you can make it overnight.
No,
buy
okay.
three 9-volt batteries,
right.
Hook them together in series,
yeah,
and do your electrodes over that. And if you have to, cut your silver coin in half if you have to. The silver wire is the best. It makes it easier.
I can't be cutting nothing
in half. But she's talking about something different.
Yeah. So is it possible in the meantime until I get that, because I do plan on doing that, I just got to get it together and figure out how to do it. So, but in the meantime, I'd like to get like a pure silver coin and a knife and scrape the heck out of it and see if I can get some dust or little pieces onto some meat. I scrape as much as I can onto some meat. I don't know if something might go, and then just make it and let them eat the meat treat. And then maybe I can scrape some and throw it in some. Maybe I could put.
You really need those colloidal particles. They're smaller than microscopic. They're just.
Okay, no, I'm going to do it, but will it help? Will it benefit at all or not at all if I were to put, say, a silver coin in their water dish and just leave it in there for them, you know, 24/7, for them to at least
have... That helps with killing bacteria and stuff like that. I found that very effective. Put several coins in the bottom of my water cooler. You'd be amazed at what's in your water cooler. And when you put a silver coin in it, it kills it, and then you end up with this cloudy layer of all the dead bacteria.
So that's not good to do then?
Well, it's good to do. It's excellent to do, but yeah.
Yeah, I have to clean the layer off. I have to.
So it'll help, but it's not the same thing.
Yeah, it's not going to be the colloidal silver.
So when I see that cloudy layer on top of their water bowl, I'm supposed to sort of, I can get, say, a dry towel paper and kind of gently put on top of it. It'll catch it all and throw it away.
Well, just give them fresh water on a regular basis, too. But, yeah, leaving some silver coins.
No, I mean, I can splash it out or something. I can splash the top. You're saying that film that comes on top is like the toxic? It's like the bad stuff?
Well, no. When I did the when I did it in my water cooler, there'd be like a half inch of dead bacteria cells floating around on the bottom. It was kind of gross to see. But, I mean, I'm glad the coin was there because it was killing them. Otherwise, they would have just been floating around free. You know, this is supposedly pure filtered water that we bought in the store. So
basically just change the water once you start seeing the film build up at the bottom.
Okay. But so it's not going to hurt. But I'm trying to do everything, every little thing I can do that will help. So if it doesn't hurt, it could only help, right, to put a coin in their water dishes. And then
I would do it down, though, because they might eat the coin.
It's kind of a big coin. No, because it's going to be, they have to stick their whole nose in the water, and these dogs are going to be sticking their nose in the water to get to the bottom of the thing, you know, and I think she's smart enough not to be, once she sees it's hard, she doesn't want to chew on it. It's not like she doesn't have food to chew on, but let me ask you this. Is it dangerous to get, because I have small little, I'm trying to think, it's like a tenth of an ounce of silver, I think. Very little amount, just for bartering. It's small, and it's a square, but it's got rounded edges, so they're not sharp edges. If I were
basically
to put a little...
It's a silver dime, basically.
Maybe, yes, probably, but a square with round edges. And it's light, it's thin. If I were to put that in a doggy tree, could that be dangerous and let him eat it?
Well, I don't think it'd really do them a whole lot of good.
They just
basically poop the coin back out.
But it doesn't do anything while it's traveling through his body that would be beneficial.
If it's, you know, if it's 999 silver, it's, you know...
It's probably not going to make a big difference of saving his life or anything like that. We need the water, right?
You know, if anything, the only thing it would be is the choking hazard at worst. Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah, you're probably better off just to put it in the water bowl.
Okay, well, I got to figure out how to make this water tonight.
And then do the colloidal, yeah.
I can keep the silver. Okay, what about scraping, though, the coin and getting the scrapings and putting it in meat? Is that going to be okay, the scrapings, not the coin? Would it help, maybe?
Well,
you know,
Joe suggested putting the silver on the wound directly.
Oh, that's right, directly. That might even be the better thing, like do shavings and then put it on. Put it on the wound.
Maybe just take the dime and put it on there, and wrap the dime.
I could just get several of them and wrap it all around. That's a great idea with a soft bandage. Just put it straight on it. Yeah. What about copper?
Copper too, because I wear copper all the time, and it sucks toxins out of your body.
So when it's bruised, purple bruising, where he's turning purple, what do you think would be better, silver or copper? The silver?
Probably both.
Or both?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do a combination and see, look underneath it and see which one seems to be working faster, and then I'll let y'all know.
There you go.
Okay, well, I think I got a lot of ideas.
Going there.
What?
Do what?
You might get some sort of electrical differential going there.
Right.
What does that mean? Speaking English.
Well, yeah. When you put two different metals near each other in solution, there's always kind of a voltage potential difference between them. So like copper and silver, I think, produce about 1.5 volts.
Oh, we're talking about putting it on the skin directly, not colloidal.
Right. Well, if you put it on the skin directly, the moisture of the skin would act as an electrolyte, and you might get a voltage potential between them.
Oh, so I better not do it, but for the sake of the dog, I should stick with one or the other.
Well,
probably.
You might get a colloidal solution produced right there as a result.
Oh, that's what he's saying.
What
he's saying is wearing it, the body acid will create its own colloidal silver and or copper or gold, whatever you're wearing. So,
Is he recommending to put the two different ones together?
I'm just saying it might help.
As long as it doesn't electrocute the poor dog anymore, as long as it doesn't hurt him or do something underneath the bandage,
it'd be very low amperage, and it wouldn't do much
You think it's okay if
No, he's not talking about hooking up the batteries to the dog.
No.
He's talking about
basically turning the dog into a battery. And when you do that, the metals will go
battery,
into solution. And the metals will go into solution when you do that. So, you might get a colloidal effect that way.
I'm not sure
the colloidal copper is good for you. I don't know.
Well,
let me not take a chance and just
wear
get the silver.
That all the time.
So let's stay safe. Let me stay safe and stick just with silver, right? So if I got some pure silver coins, and I say I got three of them next to each other because the wound is like his whole arm, and I was able to get a bandage, wrap it around, and I put the silver directly on the purple wound on his ankle or something, wrap it around.
You get a voltage difference when you use different metals. If you're using the same metal, you won't get a voltage difference.
And is that good or bad?
Well, I'm just saying it would put the metals in solution because it acts as a battery.
So is it better than to get a knife and just kind of scrape it and put that on a bandage and then it's more raw?
I think the idea of putting the silver coin in the bandage might be a good idea.
Okay, for the time being until I get something else.
Bacteria.
Okay. I should also go and put that wet pack on him and see if that helps with the swelling too, I guess. I don't know. I probably should do that, right? Around his heart. A frozen gel pack that's already kind of not so hard, but sort of gelled or thawed out slightly.
I'd give him one of those 81 milligram baby aspirin every 12 hours too, myself.
Oh, okay. You think every 12 hours? Yeah.
I think just to have a little bit in the system just to make sure, it will knock a little bit of discomfort and pain off. And that way, you're not over medicating the dog. Just so
that also helps with blood clotting. Maybe that's what I need to give him now that I'm thinking about it. Because maybe could inflammation be blood clotting?
Maybe, I don't know. But
what about bloating in the stomach? What does that tell you?
Bloating. I don't think a minimal dose like that's going to hurt him. Like I say, I wouldn't give him three or four a day. I'd just give him one milligram baby aspirin every 12 hours.
Yeah, because he had one this morning. I actually gave him one yesterday, and it seemed like I thought there was improvement after I gave it, but then I gave him one again this morning.
At least it'll take the pain for him. At the very least, it'll take the edge off the pain for him.
Okay, I'm going to go do that then, because it might even save his life, because it does prevent heart attacks when you do the bear aspirin, so maybe it will help save his life, right?
Right.
I'm going to go do that. I'm glad you said that, because I don't think it will kill him, because he's 110 pounds, especially if I just give him one, right?
Right, one every 12
hours.
Okay,
I'm glad you said that, because maybe it will. Thanks. I really appreciate that. You might have just saved his life by saying that.
And I give him Advil every 6 hours. I'd give him some Advil, and I think I read somewhere that it was bad for him, but he was in a lot of pain because he broke his hip, because he was riding on the back of my truck and went around a curve and he fell off in the street at 35 miles an hour and busted his hip.
Did the Advil work? You gave an Advil to your dog, it was okay?
They say that's bad for a dog, but I mean, I was just trying to make the dog a little more comfortable. He lived a full long life, but every 6 hours I'd give him 200 milligram Advils or ibuprofens or whatever, okay? But,
He survived?
He survived. He lived a long life.
Okay. Hey, well, I'm glad you said it, because if he starts living with a lot of pain, maybe I'll try one. If I get desperate.
But I think the aspirin's better. I think I read something that the Advil's not supposed to be that good for adults. But
okay, I'm going to stay away then for the moment from Advil and just give them the baby aspirin.
Or at least double check that, you know, I know the aspirin won't hurt him. Okay, but, you know, you can double check on Advil and what it does to a dog. I don't know for sure. So.
Okay. Does everybody else think it sounds okay to give the baby aspirin with confirmation on that?
I have no knowledge.
Okay.
So.
I'm going to go get it to him.
With the aspirin,
it's a blood thinner.
That's just more. Yeah, I'd say less is more with the aspirin just because it's just synthetic. But
less is better, maybe you would say.
Yeah.
It's such a tricky thing right now because I could give him something that makes him go one direction or the other.
Well,
yeah.
Aspirin's not going to, a low dose like that on a 110-pound dog is not going to make the dog worse.
Sure.
Unless he has gout. Unless he's got gout. Because, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
Because when I looked up gout for humans on the internet yesterday, it said that ask to stay away from aspirin if you have gout, and because it creates some sort of an acid, and gout is an overwhelming abundance of uric acid, I think. And so, but I don't know if he's got gout or not.
Even if the dog's in a lot of pain, and if you can reduce the pain and the stress in the body or an animal, then the animal is more likely to be able to recover and recuperate.
Okay.
The pain.
He might even have a fever. So the best thing is to give him the baby aspirin right now. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's a blood thinner, right? So.
It's no way it's going to hurt a dog. Okay.
Okay. If anything, it will prevent a heart attack.
Right.
Now, which he looks like he's about ready to have.
It was a 10-pound.
Okay, here, baby.
It was a 10-pound dog. The high dosage for a 10-pound dog, but not a 110-pound dog.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, baby aspirin, because when I looked it up on yesterday, it said that you can give a 100-pound child like 8 baby aspirins. So
it's okay right now for me to shove it down his throat.
One or two a day should be fine.
So this would be the second one he's had.
That's one. Every 12 hours.
Okay.
Boy.
There you go. Okay, good boy. Something. Okay. Well, let's see how that works. And then I'll work on making silver tonight and charcoal. I mean,
yeah.
Not charcoal, carbon. Well, same thing, I guess.
Yeah.
So, okay. Wow, what a late night it's been for everybody, right?
Yep.
Yeah, our one-hour podcast is now almost 3 hours.
That's crazy. Sounds
like. But it's all good.
It's a good thing.
Wound up killing my phone and for me to recharge it.
All right. All right. Well, you know, we talked about some good stuff, and if people who are not interested in the political stuff and interested in the health stuff bear through the political stuff, they'll get some good health stuff at the end.
They can fast forward.
Fast forward, true. You can skip through it, so. Yeah.
Oh, this is all being recorded, so people are going to hear our voices on the internet, huh?
Oh, yeah. It's all going to be on the internet, DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com.
Wow.
All 4 of our listeners are going to hear every word of this.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Who?
And you're 3 of them.
He said all 4 of our listeners will hear every bit of this.
Oh.
No, one of them left.
Yeah.
I thought there was 5. one of them left, I see.
Yeah.
There's 2 hosts, and the rest are listeners. So.
Yeah. Oh, interesting, huh? Yeah, funny.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Did you say that Obama listens to recorded messages of this podcast?
Well, we'll have to send him a copy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I think I'm going to go and get busy and give this dog some real good fluids, and it's hard for me to do it on the phone at the same time. So I'm going to get busy
and
do that, and I'm going to dedicate some good time with him and keep an eye on him, and I'll probably come back next Friday.
Okie dokie. I'll download this podcast and upload it tonight, so it'll be on the Internet tonight.
All right. So I'm going to just say goodnight to you guys, and thanks for everything, and we'll see you next time.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for joining us.
And keep Daddy in your prayers for anybody that wants to.
He
would appreciate it, and so would I. And I need also prayers to make the right decisions and know what to be guided to do the right thing for him. So thanks for any of that. All right, guys. Have a good night.
All right, you too. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Good night, all.
All right. So we're all hanging up now?
No. I got an order. I need a grilled chicken sandwich from Sonic.
Would you like a fresh hot apple pie with that?
No. Dave, where are you at? Are you in town up there in the square? Where
are
you at?
Are you buying?
if you got money to cover, go buy two dinners or whatever. Drop them by here, and I'll pay for both of them. You buy, yeah. You fly, I'll buy.
You fly. Yeah, you were broke last night.
Well, I went and got some money out of the bank.
Yeah, you.
I am broke.
You
spent
your last money on some limeade.
Well, I didn't have any cash on me. That's what I meant. And I had I had to wait for my unemployment to come. Well, my unemployment came in or whatever. So
I'm teasing you.
Yeah, I got $40 in my wallet right now. So I got some money.
Why don't you call me on my phone number? Because we don't need recorded for all of our posterity what we're ordering from Sonic tonight.
Hey, can you delete this part of that, Kato?
Actually, I think it stopped when David got off the phone, when David lost signal, because it looks like the podcast only went for 2 hours.
Okay.
Oh.
Hey. Bye, Dave. I'll call you back, Dave. Bye-bye.
All right.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello?